Monday, July 8, 2019, Dakota County Board of Equalization special meeting at 9 a.m.
Record is not on.
Okay, we are going to start the Dakota County Board of Equalization special meeting. It is Monday, July 8, 2019 at 9:08 a.m. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry? Absent. Janet?
Here.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Here.
Okay. I will make a motion to excuse Larry.
Second.
Second by Tony.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items, and I need a motion for approval of the previous minutes of July 1st, 2019.
I can make a motion.
Okay, motion by Janet.
Second.
Second by Tony.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to new business. And Jeff requesting the board approval of the tax list corrections for parcels with clerical and or admitted errors.
Oh, we do. We have like four or five new ones. I didn't bring copies. I put it in the B drive.
Okay.
Underneath. So we would back out of the protest, I think, and it's called omitted. Yours, I think I leave yours alone because you have to make a different copy to send to Lincoln. Yeah, try that. I figured this would be a cool way to do it instead of making all these copies.
Okay.
And then there's that one, so we're on Monday, July 8th. Yep, we're even on the right one. Well, I did six, okay. So that's our list. Let's see, we have off the bat, I got two in Jackson. Both of them are up on the side hill. First one should be omitted property. We added some basement finish to a property. And then the other one was a clerical. There was a survey done, or a plat. I stand corrected. It's called a plat, not a survey. And we had the wrong square footage on a house at the bottom of the hill there, too. So those first two, one of them was omitted, and the other one was a clerical. So that changed both ways. And then after that, we get into, is that 13?
1363.
Three, and that was not commercial. Oh, that file actually was miscoded as a commercial, which changes your value, so we recoded it back to residential. I don't know how we got a commercial on it. That's clerical in the office. I don't even think I can call that a fat finger because you really got to try. That's not an easy task to do. So I don't know what we did there. Can't blame the computer necessarily. So that's data entry, which falls underneath clerical. The next one was it had multiple records underneath it. Those needed to be cleaned up and combined. We actually ended up omitting some things. And we had, because of the multiple records, we were charging them a land value twice. So you can have multiple records, that's okay, but one, you can only put your land on one of the records, and we had it on both. So we were kind of looking at it, and the value didn't look right, and I believe they're a protester too, but we don't have a protest on now if we can fix it this way. The next one is the same property for 2 years, and this is a house that got omitted on West 300. It's kind of down kitty corner from, you know, the old post office. You have that kind of a Queen Anne Victorian style house. And you go to Skeletta's old place, and there's that old house on the corner. It got kind of run down, and I think it was in 18, Aaron saw it, who's never coming back, by the way, but and he put the condition, and he typed in 100%, so it made the house. He said there was a condition problem, and he added what he thought was functional, but he put our physical to 100%, so we lost the value. And the house has a new roof, new siding. I mean, they fixed it up, and we lost the value for 2 years, so I put it on for two, because that was an omission of a property. So that's why those are on there. So those are the, I'm trying to think if there's anything unique about, that's about it. There's really nothing unique about any of them other than it was either omitted or we had a data entry or a clerical on them.
So what happens when, like if it's been omitted for 2 years, can we go back and collect taxes on that or not?
Yeah, we can go back to eight. Actually, I think the Hoshkin was here. I think it's three total years.
Okay.
But generally, we never really have.
And I think reverse.
Yeah. Usually, if they try to, they try to get
we
pay
made
them.
An error, and they can go back, and we have to
pay them
a refund.
Yeah.
But if we didn't even think there was a house there, right?
Yeah.
Is that what this happened?
Yeah. Well, we knew we had a house, and it wasn't on the pickup schedule because we'd been done with. He did it. When he was acting as a referee, I missed it.
So they had a really low value sent to them.
Yeah, it was just
and they never
said a word, so.
They had $7,000 value, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, pretty a lot.
So this is, part of the good thing of the protest, I guess, is another owner will bring that as a comparable. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, why is this value so low, kind of thing. And then
we look at
it'll kind of help us find some of the problems, you know, in the county record.
Yeah. And you feel silly when you tell him, well, there's no house on it. Why are you comparing it? And then he says, there's a house there.
And then you drive by
and you're like, holy crud.
Okay.
Well, I think those are all pretty straightforward.
Right.
So I'll make a motion to approve the tax list corrections.
Second
by Tony.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. All right. B, Jeff Curry, to provide the board with an update on the VSL Emerson.
Give you a couple handouts here. I could have put this on the V-Drive too, I guess. But let's just keep my copy. I don't want to have too. I mean, the folder on this thing is massive. I just wanted to discuss it just real quick one more time with the board and point you to a couple of things. And I know Kim's busy. I got to talk with Kim about it, too. Then this is a secondary document. This is my argument against their attorney's arguments. Anybody can make an argument on the verbiage of a reg or a statute. Attorneys are really good at it. And that's why I got to sit down and talk with Kim to see if there's anything solid in this. I don't remember the law firm.
Larry.
We'll give it Larry's box.
Okay.
So the first one I handed out, what I want to point, couple of the main things they're hanging their hat on is if you look underneath the very first paragraph, there's a little block text in there. It starts at a qualifying organization owns a health care facility which is made up of a nursing home and assisted living housing. So VSL has those things. But every nursing home in Woodbury, Dakota, we all do. You know, that's just something nursing homes have. And it just kind of goes on and talks about, you know, they have to take care of their patients, yada, yada, yada. It's you can read it, but that's kind of one of the main things they're hanging their hat on because they say we need this. therefore we're exempt. The argument started because DHHS, I just found this out, DHHS used to have a funding program for nursing homes once they had to go to Medicaid and Medicare, that the state, in its wisdom, dropped the funding, so DHHS is no longer going to fund them. They told them about this, and they said, go back to your counties, and you should be exempt. So this all started from that organization. I just found that out this past week, and have not written my letters to the senators yet, but that's going to follow. But so now I know where it's coming from. The fact VSL's ahead of the game is just because they're smarter than the rest of them, I guess. I don't know. They got a law firm working for them, you know, because they're broke, right? They're charitable. They can afford their own law firm to come at you. But so that's kind of the main thing. And there's miscellaneous underneath Title 50. There's several regs that talk about a statutory test, because this whole thing comes down to we denied their 451. And there's good arguments, you know, both ways. They make some good points. I think we can counter all those points. So it boils down to them claiming they're exempt because of this, which I don't know really how to argue that, because every nursing home I know of, we actually called a few too and started. So what happens if somebody comes in, they're out of, you know, they had to sell their house, they've got nothing left but Medicaid, Medicare, do you throw them out? And not one nursing home said they did. They said, no, we still get paid. Not as much, because they don't get that extra dollar now that they used to, or whatever it was. But they do qualify based on that. So, and I think this is the hang-up. So there were 12 counties that had a VSL nursing home, or a nursing home that VSL just went out and purchased. And 10 of them just made them exempt, didn't even fight them, which is really the biggest hurdle we have to come over, because they've gone out of their way to set a precedent against us before we even get to Lincoln. So that sucks. I don't know a nicer way to put it. We tried to talk through the state office to try to tell nobody to do anything, wait, you know, and everybody jumped the gun and, you know, started here. There's one other county, and I think they've reached out to me, and did their attorney call you, Tim?
Yes.
I think it's a she.
She.
Yeah, was going to call you. And I don't know, and she wasn't sure either, their assessor anyway, what to do. She believes, kind of like I do, that exclusive use isn't met, charitable isn't met, and the fact that they say they, you know, we don't, income isn't a requirement for us to admit you, is kind of proven a bit of a fib, because they have an admission policy where they reserve the right pretty much kick any, not admit anyone or to remove people based on their ability to pay. Now, it falls underneath the guidelines. So they're saying, if let's say somebody had a stroke, it was unexpected, and they didn't have like a life estate or anything set on the family farm, they go into the nursing home, their nursing home insurance or whatever runs out, it doesn't cover the bills. They do the Medicaid, the Medicare, well, they still expect full payment. They still expect another amount of income because they own that land. And if that person was to, during any time during the being admitted or during any time during their stay, has a lawyer actually hand the farm down to the kids, they can throw them out because they lose that ability to collect their payment. And you'll see that it's right on the handout, the first one, the last thing, it's VSL, there's a signature on the bottom, and it says admission. This is what I'm hanging my hat on. If we think we want to fight this, which, I, you know, like I said, there's pros, cons, and expenses. But if you read it, I mean, it just, they go right down the list. Any applicant who is financially able to pay for the cost of his or her care shall be required to do so. So if you have a farm that was supposed to go to your kids and you end up in a nursing home unexpectedly, it's gone. You can't, you cannot take that. You can, because if you read further down, is it under B? Here we go. Yeah, the Heritage of Emerson reserves the right to deny admission to or to discharge any applicant or resident who has transferred or intends to transfer his or her assets to another person. I'm trying to say there is in no way in the world you can be charitable and have this in your admission policy, but I don't know how we prove that when 10 counties weren't bright enough to wait for everybody else and get all the documents.
Can that be reversed if Turk would rule on this in our favor?
I think they're on their own, if I understand Turk. I mean, they would hear our case alone.
Okay.
We would be okay. But the rest of them, they're going to have to sleep in a bed they made.
Or they could deny the exemption the next year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then they could deny it the next year. Our problem is getting
Turk to say.
Yeah, because McGill, the law firm, does an excellent job. You know, of the data they get, it's just long letters, and they repeat themselves, and they hit the same rig. It's wonderful how they do it, because it'll drive you nuts just trying to read it. And I don't know how.
You give up before you.
Yeah, and that's what happened to a lot of the counties. It's like, well, if you read the regs yourself and interpret them yourself, you have that. So, I mean, I'm kind of hanging my hat on their admission policy, and it's to the point of it's not exclusive use. There's no way I can consider you charitable if you do this to somebody. And the fact that DHHS isn't funding you anymore has no bearing on local county government flipping a bill, footing a bill for you now. That's passed down, how do we say that?
Unfunded.
Yeah, there you go. By definition, I think this falls into one.
Okay.
But, so, I don't know. Like I said, we've got a lot against us, though, too. I mean,
It's worth
Are the other 10? Are the other 10 going? Are we doing this as a group, or are we doing this individually?
Individual, because I think was it Sheridan? I keep saying Sheridan County. I don't remember which county they were from. I know. I can see the lady's face, but they'll have their own case, and we'll have our own case, and we can't be
together.
Heard together, as far as I know.
Use the benefit of our common knowledge.
Yeah,
we were just kind of talking to each other to see what happened on there.
Yeah, I talked to some, when I was at the Board of Equalization thing in June, I talked to a couple of them.
Yeah. And some of them just didn't wait. And I gave you a few things, so like just some stuff for you to read through to know where I'm sitting. These are my notes. So I wrote that. I got crazy one night. I even redlined myself. And what my interpretation, that's sad when you do that, by the way. But I wrote up what I felt. I just took all the McGill letters and tried to condense it into what their legal argument is, which statutes and which regs. And it boils down to just the 451 process. What does it mean to be charitable? Here's a five-part statutory test you have to pass. I say they don't pass that five-step test because of they're not charitable.
Yeah.
And there's other, I mean, if you read that admission policy, they can kick them out other ways or deny admission other ways. So it would be nice if I could have had somebody walk up, push in a grocery cart, and walk up to the front door and just say, I don't feel good, I need a bed, see if they admit him.
I got
10 bucks as he scooted right down the sidewalk.
I didn't put this as an action item, but ESL requested that the board look at this again and reverse your decision. So if you want to put it on the agenda to reverse the decision.
Oh, yeah, they want.
And I didn't put it on.
Like
I've
been trying to work with Brian.
We've got more meetings coming up, so. You mean another agenda, not today's agenda?
I haven't
requested several times, but because Jeff's recommendation has not changed, we didn't put it on as an action item. So if you
And I've tore it apart. Like I said, I've condensed this.
If the board thinks that they don't want Jeff to fight this, then I guess I can...
I think we're all on common ground there. I think we all feel that it's not a charitable organization.
Okay.
This is what
okay.
Jeff, yeah.
So then I'm not going to put it on the agenda.
I don't think we need to...
If we're going to support Jeff.
And we're going to Kirk on it.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess the worst we do is we lose, but I mean, I think it's better that we fight it. I don't know, but I'll have to. I know Kim's busy,
with you,
but
Jeff.
Yeah.
Do they have a date?
Explained it.
Do they have a Turk date?
Wait a minute. No, not yet.
I haven't
yet.
Seen. Okay.
Yeah, that's why Brian keeps hounding. I think he's the CFO. He keeps hounding because he thinks I'm going to change my mind, and I'm not. And that was the other thing. His income statement, I gave you a copy of it. It's about the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life. And I've actually developed, I created in Excel my own template for a nursing home based off of what they do, and took a lot of research. And he says their software won't allow him to give me a true income the way we look at income. That's his excuse. He didn't give me any other thing than that. He says his software wouldn't allow him to dump it into.
Okay.
So I sent him the states like low income and just switched the categories around to. There's a list of, and I gave you a copy. I wait to see these charges. There's this whole list of extra charges they have to pay to. I mean, they can pay $5,000 a month to stay there. And there's a thing in here. One of the regs actually quotes that it has to be a reasonable expense. And for $5,000 a month, I'll hire a nurse and buy him a house and put him in there myself. I mean,
there you go.
That's just stupid. Stupid money.
Yeah.
So, and you guys have that at your fingertips. I put it in that packet, too, which is something else I just can't swallow.
No, we've got plenty of work to do here, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. You've done a good job researching everything, Jeff. So I say we just let it go to Turk and let it play out.
Okay, I'll let Brian know so he quits hounding us. I don't know if they've been hounding you, probably. That Jill, was it Jill? Oh, yeah.
Did Turk say that they're going to do some, come out and do some? Look, or when I was at that meeting in Kearney, they said they're going to rotate around, so I didn't know if they were going to come out and look at properties or what they were going to do as part of their plan.
They had talked about, and as far as I know, I just got a new legislative update. They didn't get any of it. Yeah, they were going to actually have hearings in a county. They were going to switch so you don't see the same commissioner for like a single commissioner hearing every time. And there was a piece of legislation that I don't believe passed.
Okay.
The last I heard.
Okay.
So I don't know, because we're still going to, I mean, you know how much money a county could save if Kim and I could sit in here with a speakerphone and talk to them?
Yeah.
We can send the physical evidence for the commission to review. I don't see why we got to drive to Lincoln.
In this day and age, it's foolish.
It really is. I mean, we could even do it on the...
Yeah, teleconference.
Yeah, like the webinar.
Judges do it.
Yeah. But I don't think it. I'll have to double check. But last I heard, I don't think
we got a legislative update. I haven't read through that yet.
I think one just came. Yeah.
Yeah, it just came, and I haven't read through it yet, so I'm not sure what I'll find.
Okay. Well, I think we're all set on B. So let's move on to C. Closed session to discuss pending litigation negotiations on Turk case 18R0065. So I need a motion for us to go into closed session.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Motion by Janet, second by Tony.
Kevin.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Martin.
Yep.
Tony.
Yes.
Okay, we will be going into closed session for Turk negotiations on 18R0065. It is 9:32.
I got 9:32 on my computer. 9:32.
Okay.
You got everybody out.
You got everybody out.
We got them all.
Okay, we are in closed session for Turk case 18R0065. And this is Becker.
Moving into that house.
Sound good?
Yep.
Okay.
Then let them all back in.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go get them all in.
Okay, so I need a motion to come out of closed session on Turk negotiations 18R0065.
So move to go out of closed session.
Okay, Tony?
I'll second that.
Marty?
By the time you speak up, my
right here, 9:36.
At 9:36.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Tony?
Yep. Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, we are out of closed session from Turk negotiations 18R0065. We'll move on to D. And
a motion.
Yeah, to give the offer.
D is. I'll make a motion to.
Yeah.
Oh, D, sorry.
Yeah.
That's, that is D.
That is D. Jeez, Joan, you usurped me. I was looking forward to making that motion. I think Janet's going to make it.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just.
I'll make a motion to approve the settlement offer for Turk case 18R-0065, Becker versus Dakota County.
Second.
Martin?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to E. We'll review property valuation protests. By considering all papers relating to the protest and findings and recommendations of the referee, and may make the order recommended by the referee or any other order in the judgment of the Board of Equalization required by the findings of the referee, or may hear additional testimony, or may set aside such findings and hear the protest anew. So, I guess let's jump right into it. We'll start with parcel 29288.
Martin
or Mina DeAnda, 403 West 17th Street. Looks like the previous was 105,895 and current was 109,240. So we do not have much of a change on this one.
And he's requesting 102. And now I need to find Jeff's file, right?
Yeah.
Is he saying it's old and needs a bunch of work?
Yeah,
his old argument. And
so it sounds like his argument was condition.
What was it? What was your question?
It should be July, starts underneath 2019 protest.
Number 12.
And then July, the top folder, I believe. BOE July, I guess I'd like to.
There we go. Okay. So protest 12. Okay. So this is.
Oh, you'll see that on all of them. That's our. We make a checklist for the taxpayer and for the office now of the types of evidence we're looking for.
Okay.
And then you'll see our comps. So this would be our data. That's a sales sheet, and these were the comps we.
So, what do you recommend, leaving it the same or in the middle?
Referee or Jeff? We both made recommendations, or we both make recommendations on all of them for your consideration. And I think it's the last sheet. I'm sorry, I have to scroll all the way down, but I think it's the last. Very like this is all the evidence.
Okay.
And then,
that's a lot.
Yeah, there is a lot.
We're doing it now to where we prepare to go to Turk so we don't get behind anymore. So we just have it done now.
Okay.
So the recommendation is the agreement between the county assessors and the.
Usually, yeah. Now, we might look different because when I write my opinion, generally it's before the person even comes in and has their hearing. So I base it on the evidence they initially turned in. So sometimes my opinion is no change.
I see.
But then after the person comes in and gives Sam or Frank new pictures and we know there's a foundation issue,
right,
then they take over and it's like, okay, well, we better figure out what to do with
okay.
it. So generally we should match, though. I'm assuming we're pretty close.
Most of the time
just
we run
around to the side.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a few where maybe we disagree, but it would be just because they're really, really tough. I mean, there's a few. We've got a berm that we'll talk about later. A few properties that are just extremely complex. But so yeah, this is my referee sheet. I'm Sam, by the way. I I own Innovative Appraisal Service. And this is Frank. He's an appraiser with me. My dad also. But we appraise in the area actively all the time. Most of our work is for banks with purchases and refinances. So we see literally every sale that occurs in the metro. Everything has gone up in Dakota County over the last few years. So I do kind of feel for the property owners here, but most of them are going up just because the market is up. And in this case, there just was no evidence to support any value reduction, in our opinion. The burden is on the property owner at the Board of Equalization. And in this case, we felt that the county record was, correct, and we recommended no change.
Okay.
If you see scribbles on mine, it's after you read so many of these, sometimes you write like your head's thinking, and you got to take those words out.
I'm not sure what you just said, but I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, but that's, yeah, there was, if you see a bunch of scribbles, I either drew a picture I shouldn't have or wrote something I shouldn't have.
So when it says improve, previous improvements, and then it says improve value, so that's just kind of a function of the market value. So it's not like they did $3,000 worth of improvements. It's just that the market is paying up. Paying up for a house that maybe they didn't think they did anything
to it. And that verbiage creates a lot of problems.
I think so.
That it's the one the state puts on all of our forms, and it's just...
So they assume that, hey, I didn't do anything to increase my property value.
Why'd you raise me? Even if it's only $2,000, why'd you raise me? I didn't pound a nail in the house.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, let's move on to parcel 76227, James and Carolyn Starks. Previous was 106110, and current is 128640.
Wow, that's a trailer out in the country, right behind Dakota Flats.
Is behind the cut off.
I don't know if this is it or if this is a comparable.
That's correct. That is the house.
Yeah. That is. And then the comparables are listed 1 through 6 on the bottom there. And that kind of gives you the CAMAs.
Okay. And you said basically all those styles of homes were going up this year, right?
Yeah. Anything that was manufactured had table adjustments this year. So we did single and double wide manufactured, got adjusted, both in courts, on an IOLL, which is somebody else's land, but it's not in a court, and then those that are sitting on their own land.
So I haven't ever purchased one, haven't ever priced one. What would something like that cost new?
Like a single wide.
I think they gave us evidence. I think they were the ones who brought in.
Yeah, they gave us what they bought it for back in, I forget.
Like 1999.
Mm. A single wide will cost you $45,000 probably right now, because they're selling for the 30s. If you're 2015 and newer, you're going to start at about 32 and just go up from there. Double wides that just sit in a court on pillars, when they buy them, they can start as low as 60, really, and go up from there depending on the features.
So the value of this is 103?
Yeah. See, anything that, because generally the ones that sit out on their own land, then you got to add the lot value to the trailer.
Yeah, but the improvements in this one is
100%. Yeah, and that would be, they all sell higher on their own land than what you would typically see. So that trailer, if they picked it up and put it in Stanton Edition, you might see $40,000, $45,000 on it.
For the value of it.
Yeah. Because that's what it's going to sell for in a court. And it's an economic issue when you look at it from a market, because then they're paying rents Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot rent anywhere, what used to be $100 can be $300 to $500 now on a court. Plus, they got the payment on the trip, so it just seems like they never sell as high.
So when we're talking to the actual value of something, we're talking about the value of it based on where it is, not on the value.
Location's a big part of it.
Not on the value of the property itself.
Yeah, the physical, sometimes the physical brick and mortar doesn't, I mean, if you're doing a cost approach, then that has everything to do with it. Mm. I mean, what the dollars are that actually cost to build that. When you do a market approach, then it's more like what are people willing to write a check for, and then it's generally location and location next to, like the closer to Sioux City you are, the more expensive you're going to find your property, because you're closer to retail, jobs, entertainment, and things like that. So there's that, so that's a real high level on two different valuation methods. And we generally, we always look at the cost. Mm-hmm. Like we'll run a cost, you'll see on everybody's record card a cost, and then we depreciate based on what the market says. And that's how we come up with our final values.
So on this one, yes, she brought me the invoice, or she brought me a current invoice for a new one, which was $90,000. And now that was just for the home. That's not no land, no garage, no pole building, and no utilities, no shipping, nothing. I mean, that's just the cost of the home itself. And now they did complain of condition issues on this particular one. So I do apologize for the issue presented. I am writing while they're talking to me usually. I'm just kind of writing some notes when they're speaking. So sometimes it's illegible. But anyhow.
So this one
does not have a basement. So it's just...
It looks like it's on a block.
It's on a crawl space. Yeah, a concrete block crawl space.
There's a good shot down the back. I didn't see anything on the front, but if you look down the back, I don't know. She said there was something with her condition.
Okay, so is this the home?
That's the home, mm-hmm. right? And then, so it's on a regular crawl space foundation.
Mm-hmm. So that's a manufactured home.
Yes, sir.
And it's a little bit of a higher end. When you get the peaks and things like that, mm-hmm. that's... Okay. All additive, I guess.
And it's pretty large, relatively large.
Yeah, it's a big footprint.
It's a long.
So like right there, it looks like they boarded up probably where you go in and out underneath.
Mm-hmm. And they have a garage.
They have a detached too, and then there's a pole building out there somewhere too.
So that kind of adds to the value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that adds to the improvements as well.
Is this your sketch?
So yeah, that's like the second comp. Okay. There's another comp. There should be a sketch. There you go.
This one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the.
And I believe.
So where is the pole building? Okay, so you don't.
It might not show up on that sketch.
This is a detached garage.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the garage. Depending on whether it had the farm file, that sketch could be on a farm file or on a site file.
Okay, so I'm going to go back down to what you recommended.
Ooh, they even got my graphs in there.
Okay.
You're getting dangerous.
So this is Jeff's comments. This is the referee. He recommended.
On this particular one, the condition issues that that were described to me were the they have some soft floors. They said they had some water in the house at one point, and they have some floor coverings. You know, when you go into in the kitchen and the bathroom in this particular case, where they were the subfloor was kind of rotting away. So I did make the adjustment to fair condition from average. And recalculated the value in TerraScan. So I did recommend to lower the condition to fair, and then that's the number. Everything's still equalized. That's one thing we wanted to keep doing. So every, if there was two of these that are the same and both in fair condition, they both be the same number. Mm-hmm. But I did recommend, based on their testimony, I do agree that I don't have a whole lot of evidence besides their testimony, because it's interior stuff, but and a soft floor is, you know, it's hard to verify unless you literally go out there. And we did go out on some that we felt were, you know, more severe than this particular one, but we that was my recommendation, and there you have it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it would certainly, if they're going to sell it and walk in, you got the soft floors. It's something that a new buyer is going to accept they're going to have to fix before they sell. So.
128.45.
Yeah.
Is it, well, you feel the same way, Jeff?
Yeah, see, we wouldn't have had the condition, because we were out there in 18, is our latest data on it. So I don't know what I think I just maybe no change.
You recommended no change. I don't have a column for assessor recommendation.
Well, I don't know if you need. I just told the board, I think when we were, I think Rick was here, they were talking about having the board be the referees and everything. Yeah. And I made the comment I would do this for the board. I need to do it for the Turk anyway.
It helps the referees. 128.45, if you guys want to keep track of that, because you're going to vote on that.
I've got it written.
Yeah.
A question I have is there a cap per se as to what type of, they virtually make no changes to their property. Is there a cap as to what we would increase it? Because, I mean, I can see if I was a homeowner and I did not do a single thing to my house and it went up.
The cap is, it's that's why they do the market, because the cap is what people will, it's still what it pays, but what you're talking about then is that's effective life, or you can, that's depreciation. So right. So if somebody doesn't do it, just like I probably had that at an average condition,
right.
And when Sam changed it to 20, and he said he recalled, because all of our cost tables and our tables calculate against condition and quality and those things. So if nobody ever, because your windows are only going to last you 20
years. Right. Yeah, that's fine.
So if they don't do that, then your condition keeps dropping, and when that drops, your value drops too.
Okay. But in this case,
so
they haven't done anything, but they're still going up $20,000.
Dollars on it, yeah. Yeah, and they would, because the market. So, like,
right.
market can supersede depreciation in the right instances.
Mm-hmm.
Because technically, when you talk
depreciated, but it's at a new market value depreciation.
Yeah, for a fair condition versus an average condition manufactured home, and it might be a $10,000. I don't know what it was. I would be estimating that, but. Josh, you know the assessor's office, we would say a spongy floor for an elderly couple is an exercise tool, so we would add that. But that's what assessors do. That's why we have referees, to keep us in line.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think on that one, the referee recommendation was good to everybody.
Yeah, I think that was good to me, too.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's move on to parcel 77.
I think it's a little high, but, I mean, that's just me. I just think that's a big jump for a house that they didn't do anything to.
And that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Huh? They lowered it.
I thought they went from 106.
No, look at what I'm showing you up on the screen.
Oh.
This is the new recommendation.
No, but it still went up from last year.
It still went up.
So what you got to do is
14,000.
So you need to.
Okay, I'm looking at the wrong column then.
You have to write that in.
Yeah.
Under the referee column.
Okay.
He recommended 128.45, and so then that's what you're agreeing to or going to vote on later.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm misreading this chart.
It
went from 106 to 120.
It's still going up 14,000, but we've gone down 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
On the 14th.
All right. I didn't mean to write.
And the other thing to do, if you ever feel that way, anybody about one of them, just. What we can do is we can scroll back up to the comps and we'll show you what they're actually selling for.
Okay.
We should have at least five comps on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of years, we've actually had the full packets. And
I'm
those are a lot easier to look through, because you'll get a packet just like this that will have the entire file in it.
Okay.
So,
Well, I'll get used to figuring out where things are in this little.
It takes a little bit.
Next year, we'll even before the next meeting, we'll try to figure out to do what Joan said, so we can get everything under one.
Yeah, because last year you were able to just go to one place and click and have all the information.
Yeah,
it'd be nicer for you to be able to do that than go back and forth.
I'm not going back and forth.
Yeah, because they have Jeff in the middle
of it. I have
to
close
and everything.
But
this has everything in it. This doesn't. The sheet has what No, the sheet doesn't have what the landowner requested. Most.
Yeah, they.
But it does on the your sheet.
On the referee sheet.
If you look down at the referee sheet, so the next home. This is the.
Okay, this
the next home?
Yeah, that's
77541 Duane and Alice Stowe.
Okay.
They were at 132 last year, and currently it's 135. So it's a raise of about
$2,000.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a manufactured home.
I'm not sure this one's manufactured.
Oh, it's not.
Or is it modular?
You're saying a manufactured home is a trailer?
Yeah, with a steel frame underneath.
Okay,
yeah, but that's a prefab. This is a prefab home. I remember when it was put up. It's got
That's just like a regular stick. That's how they're.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we have three in appraisers. We use three categories really. We have manufactured, which would some people call trailers, and we have prefab or I guess those could be prefab too. But then if. They could be modular. A lot of times we'll call
built off site and brought in.
Right. You know, in the factory, everything joint is perfect. And then stick built would be kind of a traditional built home on site.
They've turned it into a new.
This one's right by Cargill.
You go up.
He did not show up to his meeting.
It's two completely different families.
I did then. Well, I have a switch because that changes my data.
Okay. The hard way.
I'll have a look at.
If it went up $2,000 and they didn't show up for the hearing, I'd say that's pretty much a no-brainer.
I think Duane, doesn't he protest every year? No
yeah, he's
what?
A kind of regular. See, one of his big arguments...
He's one of the regular customers.
Yeah. One of them was Cargill, which is going away. As soon as they finish unloading, they're shut down.
Yeah.
And then the other one's the guy that built the kennel and dog parking.
No. Joan, if you could just scroll down just a little bit. I do write on the top of the last page, one page down from here.
Right, what
his request.
I do write there. I just take that from the protest sheet, and then
this
I wrote Jeff's
okay.
Original value from March is there. Basically, his argument was that there's a, next door to him was a sale from about 2 years ago for $235,000, but this owner has built a dog kennel. Back there, it's a business, kind of a successful one, too. It's a really nice dog kennel. And anyway, there's lots of dogs barking back there, and that was his main concern. But, I mean, he had Cargill back there for years, which is louder than... I can't imagine the dogs are louder than Cargill when that thing is on.
I hear Cargill.
But I did not... Yeah, Jeff recommended an increase here.
Well, I don't have a sale under $190,000 on that road. So my recommendation and the reason is he puts a for sale sign in it. It's pretty much sold, and I don't think it'll go for a penny under 185. Because I know if they put it up for that cheap, I know people who would buy it right now. Right. Because there's just too much money being spent out there in the rural market right now. But that's my job, and I pulled the sales, and you can see, but he's not going to go to Turk either, which is going to cause us a problem, because we told him to call him and tell him, and he said that's not his job. But
so your recommendation is actually raising him to 145,
you don't,
85.
Yeah, I mean, I was, I don't even feel guilty about it at all. He's way undervalued. But
where does this current total... Where's that coming from?
What's that?
Which one? Down?
The purple. In the purple.
On the far right.
So we have
that's the new 2019 value sent
that's
out.
That's what they sent out.
That's
as
what
the
they're
value.
Coming in and
yeah.
saying.
Okay.
It
the
went. And then they're,
2019.
The value that they got shows the yellow column at 132, and then it shows the increase in purple from 135. So that's what they're.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we're recommending.
And then you're recommending. The referee's recommending it stay the same.
I mean, we agree. I think the land is terribly low here. The referees are typically less vindictive than the assessor. But I didn't want to take it out of equalization. I didn't know if your numbers came from TerraScan or not, but I just left it because I didn't want to take it out of equalization.
Yeah, it just needs a new assessment. There's some data in there that needs adjusted. So it's on my list to go out and get picked up again for next year.
Okay.
After, I wouldn't have noted, sometimes until they protest, because we're on that 6-year cycle, it might be 2 or 3 years before, because he's got a new addition out on the back. We call it a mother-in-law suite if it goes out the back, but it still has access, and then it's a duplex if it's totally separated. I don't know why. It makes our mother-in-law sound mean, and they're not. I got a nice one.
Listen.
Yeah, no, I'm lying. It took me 30 years to get her to like me.
So, I think 135.
Yeah.
No change on that.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll take care of that next year with the correct data and, yes.
And the addition.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to parcel 80755. William M. Hill Jr., 118 last year and 121. 380 this year. So we've seen an increase of about 3,000. And this is a rural property again.
Yeah.
Yes, this is over on G
Avenue.
G Avenue.
It'd be nice if they would scan these.
Yeah, my landscape photos are counterproductive. They can hit the button, though, that flips them.
They look great when it's in the folder.
I don't think I can flip them here.
It's a beautiful old house on like 3 acres over on G, and it's G Avenue.
And he's kept it nice.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, we did a site inspection about a week and a half ago, and I can tell you the basement is just, there are bricks on the ground. She actually heard her wall, like one of the old walls literally fall in, and I honestly, I don't know, we've been doing this a long time, no one's ever said that to me in my time. She actually heard the bricks fall in. There's another wall supporting that area, but we did recommend a reduction due to foundation issues. There's also some siding issues, which are pretty bad, but they're honestly secondary to the foundation problems that we, and I have new pictures, but they're not here yet. But
so where are you at?
This one's also a Turk for this week as well, 2018. But we did recommend the reduction.
Same value.
Yeah,
that value.
We're recommending the reduction. And if you see this one again next year, I can tell you that.
Were they happy with this recommendation?
Yes,
they were.
Shouldn't have been.
Honestly, that foundation scares me. You guys, but
from Monday.
Yeah. So they've accepted the 118, and we're recommending dropping it to 95 this year.
I think that was our Turk recommendation. They accepted for that for Turk.
Yes.
I think,
yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For 18, and we're recommending that number for 19 as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they've got new pictures from a site inspection of the basement, and we'll put all that data in as well. And go. So, here's a perfect example. I did not know the basement was that bad. So, you can see I was going to no change her. My comps actually put her at a closer to one. Because it's a 40 quality house. It was back in that time when you built a house with that kind of finish on it. Somebody with money put that together. But its conditions are 10.
Those things you look gone like the stars.
What was theirs?
I think maybe 5.
We're
pretty close to what they asked for.
Yeah.
It was right
in there. It was 95, I think. Yeah.
Okay. So
they I think that's why they accept right away before we even got the inspection done. I think they just because that's kind of what they asked for. It is.
Okay. So we're happy at 95, 85.
Yeah. According to that referee, it looks pretty tough.
It lowers them. I think they'll be happy with that. They are happy with it. So.
And that's what you would consider that's market value, kind of based on the improvements that need to be done.
Depending on conditions.
Because it would sell for, looking at that, it would sell for a lot more now that they got fixed up.
So what a Mark Albanicious would pay for is probably different, because he's got all the equipment to just drive right in there and fix, lift it up, put the poor new basement, set it down. Siding, windows, and then you just doubled the value.
So 95, what was that recommendation?
95,085.
950.
Okay.
Okay.
parcel 177422, Kenneth and Megan Goobles, 2474 M Avenue. 310 was the last one, and the current is 340815.
I'll bet I'll read what I wrote. I may have wrote something.
Oh, yeah, this is a nice... this is a really nice place.
Yeah. It's, yeah, 15 acres near Hubbard.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's beautiful. He bought it about 3 years ago for $310. We feel the market is better. His main concern during the protest was that he didn't feel that his neighbors were going up at the same rate as him. And again, I don't, you know, our job is not, as the referee for 19, it's not to see who went up the same. Is this property at the market value or not? You know, basically his comparison was that his neighbors didn't quite go up as much as he did. He was reduced last year, though, as well. So if there's, that's a little bit of a skewed analysis, in my opinion. But I think we recommended no change on this one. I think if he puts a for sale sign, I think it's I think it's 345 or more all day long. We have a sale, brand new sale in Jackson on 5 acres. That's a smaller house. That's I think it was 350. I don't know if it's come to your office yet, Jeff. But either way, I felt the market value is there. I'm not sure the owner will be thrilled with it, but I felt.
I spent a lot of extra time on this one. He yelled at the gals.
I don't see the referee report in on this one.
And it is a nice house. I've been in there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's big. It's nice. It's down near the lake.
He was confident. He was confident.
2 miles, 3 miles south of the lake.
1,200 square foot cheese box ranches, yeah. And saying that's. You can't do that. Put three of those in his house. It's like, yeah. That's not a good comp, sir.
Yeah.
Dale hates me, too.
And, yeah, we have a sale in Homer of 2 acres of a similar size house. Mr. Heck's former property. Oh, yeah. It sold for $345. It's up on the hill there. I mean, we felt the value. 15 acres is honestly enormous for the residential market, so... I don't
know. Is there a freeze information in your file there, John?
No. I can grab it. I can grab the
I'll go get it. You guys, well, it's more important for you to, which one is it?
And that would be number 18.
I don't know. I don't see that it got scanned in, but
oh there it is. It's just out of order.
It's just not in the right order. Okay.
Okay.
So the referee recommended 348.15, which was no change.
This gentleman might come and see
and
you
Jeff
about...
Jeff had the same opinion. Okay.
He might come and see you about last year's. He was upset about a separate issue. He got lowered... I can't remember the exact thing, but he got lowered and he got a letter that had wrong dates on it and things, and he was pretty upset about that. I know he spoke to Cherie about it, but there was something going on with the dates from last year's... last year's protest.
I believe this guy came and talked to us once about the roads at one point, talking about changing the composition through.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, different type of.
Yeah, like a lime.
Lime to help bond.
And we did do that also.
Yeah, it was, I don't believe it was cheap.
Yeah.
But some of the roads seemed to. Be better this year.
Perhaps
blue
like ribbon.
Wait
a minute. Nope. It was close. I was close. I thought I heard a PBR go boom, but nope. It was a diet.
Okay.
They sound the same.
So we're happy with the 348.15.
I am.
Okay. I am too. I believe you can get that for that house. Okay. Protest 19. 56447 Jeffrey and Teresa Lederer, 2720 G. We're at 101,945 last year. This year, 155,620.
Ouch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Down and
functional came off of it. He has basement problems, so we gave him an additional functional on it, and it came off this year. It did come off. We took it off for him to come talk to us so we could get out there and protest and get a better look at it and more pictures. So that was what happened, and we did. They investigated it and gave us new pictures. And he still got, I don't know why he doesn't fix it, but he's got bricks extended out and cracks. And typical South Sioux, right? Yeah. I mean,
well, that's that part of town, that gumbo is unbelievable.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I don't know what the referees will have on it, too.
I think we talked about this one last year, didn't we?
I think so, yeah. Jeff, he's one of my regulars, too.
Yeah.
Some of these people believes, like, yeah. He thinks it's worth $80,000. You know, it's on G Street. It's 1,700 square feet. It needs some help condition-wise. It's in fair condition, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the siding is rotted. Some of the, but there he did have some blocks. There is a block, a basement foundation block that had moved out a few inches, which, you know, scares me a bit. But we did recommend a reduction here. But I do see this one honestly going to Turk for 2019, even with the reduction, if passed. But
So he's got, that's right, he's got a an estimate from Thrasher that he's hanging his hat on. Well, any one of us can call Thrasher and they come in and tell us we have a problem and give us a $40,000 estimate. So that's why he thinks, I believe it's this one, right, Jeff?
Yes.
Has his estimate.
Sir.
I think he gets one.
It is like a $30,000 estimate.
Until he signs it and pays a $7,000 deposit, doesn't mean anything. I think there's at least two other companies I can call and give me a better estimate than that.
Yeah, I think that's something we discussed last year, too, is he just is hanging on to this and trying to use it to...
Oh, year after year after year.
Yeah, because wasn't the Thrasher estimate from, like, 2016?
Yeah.
He's had it for a couple years, I thought.
He brought me a new one.
He got a new one.
Yes, he brought the old one and the new one. But I do agree, even if he doesn't fix it, it is a condition problem. It would hurt it in the market.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, it's not severe. I mean, it's not, he didn't hear the bricks falling in like Hiddles. Hiddles scares me. Like, I don't know that I'd have my kids living in the house. This one is minor at this point. Will it get worse?
Sure.
Probably. But it's still relatively minor in foundation problem.
With the basement condition falling off in Jeff's record, and then you guys kind of hitting it in the middle, I think that looks like a pretty fair number to me.
It is. Because we've got sales, I think, on either side of him. He is getting a good reduction to get his foundation. I think about $20,000, actually.
How come the land value went down? This is the first one that's happened.
110, part of the land. Is he in 100?
I think he's in 110.
110, we did a... So his land valuation probably hit a break, is what it was, because he got some land for free. He actually added land, but because of the break, it reduces your square footage. Until you get to an acre, then we switch the valuation. The house that sold on just on the, would be the north side of him, they claimed he mowed it, so he ended up with a swath of land. That got added to his.
But it went down.
Sometimes
when you go to like more square footage, you hit a threshold where it's so much a square foot. Well, you go over 10,000 square foot, and then the price drops.
Per square foot.
So sometimes when you go up slightly in area, your price actually goes down because the square price per square foot goes down.
Yeah, because it takes you so much higher than everybody else around you if you don't have that break.
Got it.
We dealt with this last year with, out there on Old 20?
They
had broken their parcels down into like a couple different parcels.
Yeah.
But if they put it together, it worked out to actually be cheaper because they had more square foot.
Interesting.
Light form.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I just happened to notice that was the first one that actually the land.
Is that piece being poured that new foundation out there by Light Form? I wonder if that's part of Light Form or if it's a new business going in there. It's a green technology center, something or another. But
yeah, that's.
I thought it was a new business.
It's going to be another new building. I think they got one and a half up done. They got one done. They got another one going. They combined a bunch of stuff. Actually, I shouldn't say that. They combined stuff they bought. I think it's Nelson. And then what they did is they made a new plat, and it's like a part of, it's like a sub plat of Westside. And he's building those buildings out there, I think, to either sell or rent space.
Oh, okay.
So he's, I think he has plans for three or four of them out
there. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's good for us. We're going to go out and pick them all up. And,
you bet.
And I guess one of them is supposed to be totally green. I guess we had a different kind of building permit.
So I suppose this is in the 29th Street flood, blighted.
It's all TIFT, it's all TIFT, yeah. We're not going to, yeah. But I mean, this is about 15 years.
Well, the next generation of commissioners can get a dollar out of that.
Yeah.
If it's still, I guarantee you.
If it's still standing.
You got 30 left in you, I get all you.
Yeah. Wait.
No, you do.
At least 29 of those is a commissioner.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're good with the 122-535.
Yeah. I think that's more than fair.
We will move on to protest 20, parcel number 273996, Miguel Ortiz at 3640 Portland Mesa. They were at 227965 last year and 193490 this year.
And protest.
Right. Okay. So this one. Okay. We had incorrectly had a finished basement. This is one of the new Gary Ogden houses over there on the new La Mesa.
Yeah.
And we had incorrectly had a finished basement on the record. That's why he was at 227 last year. This year he's 193 with the removal of that basement finish. And we did verify that the basement is unfinished. Anyhow, so the issue here they brought to us, though, wasn't even that. It was more of the taxes last year. They bought it early last year, and they did not. They were basically arguing they didn't want to pay their taxes from the previous year. They felt they should only pay the lot value taxes from last year. And I have no jurisdiction over 2018. Valuations or taxes, so there's nothing I can do there. One of the local realtors came in with him, Alma, as well.
Yeah. You know, that's a title company, closing agent, realtor kind of problem. It has really no bearing on anybody in the courthouse. We process what they give us. Mm-hmm. And if they don't do their job right, it seems like we always hold the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's if they purchase by a certain date, they have to pay.
Yeah, I mean, the taxes are owed. So, you know, whether the developer was hanging on to it or they didn't get it done in time or they didn't divide it out equally. I mean, there's so many things that happen on those.
Yeah, that's true.
So I can understand why he's mad. He just needs to talk to the right people.
And if you're equalized at 193 with the unfinished basement, then it's in the neighborhood, I'd say.
He's probably going to go up a little bit next year because that neighborhood's starting to sell higher now.
Yeah, he bought it for more as well. I mean, he spent like 205, I think, on it. He doesn't have 193 in it. It's more than that. Oh, purchase 209,950. There it is. Yeah.
And there was a note that said he was fine with the 193.
Yeah, he was fine with the value. He just felt
didn't want to pay
that it shouldn't have been full value for last year.
And that really has no bearing on this year's valuation.
And that's what I tried to explain at the time to both him and Alma. But you know, yeah, there's no jurisdiction to go back for me.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to overstep there at all.
Okay, so they're happy with 193,490
for 2019. Okay. They might come see you about 2018 in a separate, you know.
Sure.
I mean, we'll just have to ask them to speak to the right people.
So they didn't really even own it at that point, but they ended up paying the taxes, and now they're getting it corrected when they own it.
Yeah, they're trying to get it all taken care of. Okay. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's a problem, but it's with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so... parcel 154449, Patrick and Penny Carter. Previous was 360710. Current is 366260.
Is that my river?
Yes, 462 Dixon Pass.
Yeah, that's Cool's old place.
Okay.
7 acres on the river. They were flooded.
Yeah. So this is, we tried and tried, and maybe Sam got it done, but the office, as an office, we couldn't. We tried, gave them printed forms, you know, to do the OB, I think it's 512. The form 425, mm-hmm. Call FEMA, call your insurance company, give us something, turn it into the clerk's office. I said, but as far as January 1 and where your value was, it's right. You know, I can't fix you because of the flood. But I can help you get fixed now because they passed that new legislation. So, and this is the route you need to take. And they didn't want to. They wanted to protest. So I think Sam or Frank heard them.
I heard this one. Yeah, they're in order. That's why I heard the first group. And then,
oh, okay.
But so they were flooded. She told me they had 3 feet of water in their basement in March after the rains. My recommendation here is to no change the value for 2019 for the assessed value. But I did. Jeff gave me the form. For that new, it's a disaster relief form. Jeff gave that to me. I literally handed it to these property owners, that LB512. Mm-hmm. It specifically says after January 1st through July 1st or something to that effect. Anyway, the assessed value is set January 1st, so I felt that the assessed value for January 1st is correct, and I recommended no change. But I did strongly advise them to fill out that other form and have the reduction that way, which I think they're entitled to. They meet all the criteria.
As long as they hit the 20%,
they have to hit 20%, and it has to be after. You know, it was after the first. I think they wrote it so that anything that like if your house burns down January 2nd, you have some relief, or it floods January 2nd. You know, but I felt that I didn't have jurisdiction because it happened in March.
And you guys, you gave them the forms, and it's up.
Yeah,
it's their responsibility from that point. So it's
balls
in their court. You did everything you could do. And
we talked to them. And
so if they do that, then they would come back again, and then we'd readjust again.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say something deteriorated, or, I don't know, they got basement rot or something. We can go in then, and I can, after the fact, fix something for 20 if there's something there for them. But they insisted on protesting.
So we're fine with leaving it with the current value.
Yeah.
Okay. Parcel 274007, Carroll Royalty, 3809 Park Place, 216755 last year, 246810 this year. Oops.
That was Park Place.
That's a big,
We went through every house in Park Place last year. That's the new, those new townhouses, the duplex.
Gary's building.
Yeah, Gary's new house is there. Beautiful. It's new construction. And we just had a minor change to her basement finished area. The reason it went up is we didn't have her basement finished. Now it is finished, but it was less finished than most of them. And that area should be completely equalized now. We just have a small change here, but so we did recommend a little bit of a change just on the basement finish. The date is correct. And
so you're recommending 224,625. We went down more than it went up.
Right, yeah, I literally re-entered the correct data into the system and recalced it, so everything is perfectly equalized again, and that's the number.
Is that a duplex? Her half of the duplex?
It's her half of the duplex.
So that's her valuation, her half, okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Are they condos or
They're
townhouses.
Technically, they're townhouses, yes. Yes, technically they're townhouses. They're not condos, but technically they're townhouses.
Next, I think, Gary, they do all the snow removal and all that stuff.
They have a little association, yeah. But they do own the land, so they're not a condo.
Yeah, they do. That's right. They do own their little half of that lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so parcel 197881, Jose and Magdalena Juarez, 3802 Redbird Lane.
Well, we got into that thing.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
So
I don't have it.
This was.
Oh, you don't have it. Yeah, you don't. I'm sorry. We just
finished it.
Okay. It was previously 224,560. Currently 223,300. So it went down 1,000. And they're protesting
that.
They
don't ask for that.
They want it down more.
This is which?
Yeah. This is Big Ox.
This is the Big Ox.
Oh, oh yeah, we don't.
This was the sale.
Go ahead.
On Red Bird, yeah. Go ahead. I mean, yeah, you.
Oh, he stuck you with this.
This
one.
Is the sale. <Yeah. laughs>
The new guy in the black.
First everybody one else ran away.
Yeah, this is the one that he purchased in 2018 for $150,000, knowing the situation with the gas leak.
Okay. So,
and he came in and brought in some pictures. He showed the copper piping for the water lines, and they were discolored. And so we got a pretty good idea of what the effect has been on this particular house with the gas leak. This is, according to these gentlemen, this is the only sale that we have with the gas leak situation. But we do have a sale now, so that is an advantage to us.
I see. And this gentleman, he works maintenance and has for many years, so he's familiar with...
that copper is just black.
Yeah, I guess...
See that copper there, yeah.
This gas that comes up from the sewer, I guess it affects
copper. Go down a little
copper.
Bit. Hold on, no, the other way. Just whoop.
The other
where
copper.
The copper line.
Up.
Okay, hold on.
I thought copper always turned black.
Yeah. All right, I'm fine. Joan, I thought I saw something that I didn't see.
There's some shiny copper.
Yeah. Generally, we'll see in a house of this age, it's built in the late 90s, you know, it would be kind of a like an old penny-looking color. This one with this kind of black speckled, it's hard to kind of see in these photos.
Hold on a second right there.
What does he have sticking on?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Sure.
For a second, I thought that was a vent pipe or a drain pipe, but that's the insulation around the pipe.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought it was a PVC right. Pipe with something hanging out of
because,
it.
Because
right,
a big part of the lawsuit is the fact that each of them that took on the gas, there was a defect in the plumbing in the house that allowed that to happen.
To come up, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and then I guess the biggest concern that he had was that since it affects copper, that affects all his water lines, all his electrical lines. He did bring us in a recommendation from Joe Connolly about the replacing the electrical system due to the exposure to the gas, which
was the first time we've gotten anything from South Sioux in writing.
Signed. I'm kind of surprised they
when they said they had it, I had a look at it. I'm like, what? Because they've been avoiding it like the plague.
And it was on the open market. It was on the open market for several months and then did sell in the condition, and it was disclosed to him.
So that's what the finished basement looked like before.
Yeah. And he said he had to tear out most of the finished basement because of the condition.
Is he currently redoing or living in?
He's currently living in there.
And redoing.
Well,
more than that, I thought, but some, yeah.
He said he's living there at his own risk. I kind of agreed with that.
He stated that some of the other homes that are affected by this leak there, the homeowners are not living.
Yeah, there's several that aren't living.
Yeah, there's.
Mm-hmm. And who knows? But there's a lot. Until the lawsuit's settled, nobody's going to be living at that.
So what was your recommendation?
We recommended the sale price, which was, I believe...
$150,000, yes.
And that would be... Yeah, so that essentially... We have a house that was on the market. So what we're trying to do is keep Big Ox circumstantial to any decision we make. You know what I mean? Not necessarily. It was on a market. He was the one that had the highest, paid the most, and that's what it was, and he has to tear it apart. So it's kind of a
we really don't want to do anything that has everybody else that has one of them homes coming to us.
Coming to us. Yeah, because this is really the only sale and the only letter from the city. So if you take away all that basement finish, because I think he had to do a lot of the gutting himself.
He did, yes.
The expense it's going to cost, and we got an MLS record for it, we can at least defend. Mm-hmm. You know, and there would be nothing keeping us from taking him once that basement. He'll go back to full value.
Yeah.
But we'll just have to keep checking on him.
Mm-hmm. We also feel that this was a 2015 sale. I think it was about $225,000 or
$230,000. Yeah, originally.
And now it's, you know, selling in 18 for $150,000. You know, we feel like there's about $100,000 or difference in the price and the versus what condition it's in, so it might give us a clue for the other ones.
We keep hoping. Yeah, I wish they'd settle that thing.
It sold for in 2015 for $225,000.
And it sold just recently.
And then he bought it for $150,000.
So far this has been the only sale that we've had. We've left everything as it was before.
And those folks must have not been in the lawsuit, because I can't imagine they would sell if they were in the lawsuit.
No, I think from what we hear, secondhand, so it doesn't. Yeah. They've been advised if they're going to sell by owner only, and that's why you'll see a lot of people in the lawsuit have those signs out. So I'm going to guess they weren't. He bought it. Mm-hmm. Because I think it was in the disclosure notes, too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the realty companies are putting something in the disclosure report on that to make sure they're covered. And open market, if somebody else comes and says, I want to be at 150, we didn't do it necessarily because of Big Ox.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got photos.
Completely got
the answer
to start going with that.
They would have had to protest
it
by the 30th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's too late this year for them to do anything. And when he's done, maybe as early as January 1, we'll have to check him at the end of the year. Okay. He may be done fixing it. I don't know how industrious he is, but...
Okay, so we're comfortable with our recommendation?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got... The next one is a group. We got parcel 40583... 29830, 14884, 40508, 40060, 31177, Gabriel Mercedes Rodriguez. We'll just start with...
What is that?
26. Yeah, that's...
It's the guy... There's two of them.
Doesn't he protest every year, too?
No.
Well, one of them has a pallet business, and then this is... Does he have a brother that has rentals?
Yes.
Or is it the same guy?
I thought I remember Mercedes, Gabriel Mercedes.
Okay, so here's number...
Yeah, he protested last year's pallet business.
This, and it's at...
Is that the guy? It's
321
East 10. That has the pallet business.
Right? Yeah, okay. Same guy. Okay. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Okay. He protested last year.
And we're...
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. I do apologize. We're not completely done. We do have this first one completed. The rest of them are Turks for this year, or for last year, so We're trying to figure something out there, but there's a few very complex ones. This one's another mobile home manufactured house, but we have a ton of sales there, so I think we...
This one was 54 last year, and it's 52 this year.
How did a mobile home go down? Or maybe it's land. Where is it at?
The land stayed.
It's in town.
I'm trying to read that up there. Gabriel and Mercedes. Yes.
Yeah, this is at 321 East 10th.
The improvements, 43,659.
What do you want to look at?
Those are the comps.
So I can go back down to the reference.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what I wrote. This would be the first manufactured that went down.
Yeah. Has basement, no finish, 3-bedroom, rents. Oral testimony.
It does have a basement, it said?
Assessor comp.
I thought it said no basement.
Has basement, but no finish.
Has basement, no finish, yes.
Assessor comp, 70 and 66.
So we have him at...
So he requested 45 and...
I went on those two sales. Those are two sales Jeff gave me, two manufactured houses in South Sioux. I
$70,000 and $66,500.
So this rental properties, right?
Yeah. Yes, this is a rental. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of these are. I think. Well. Yeah. His commercial is
value
on here.
Should be closer to 70, not 52, is what. So they want to accept.
So, do we want to leave it at 52, or do we want to go?
He collected money for rent, guaranteed.
Rents.
Just leave it 52. I mean.
Well, we it went down, so.
I'm trying to figure out what went down. I guess I never even picked up on that.
I'm not sure if there was, you know, some data change there. I
would have to have been condition or something on it. Well, it could have been we were working on it for the 2018 turf cases, too.
You have no change.
I have no change on
I wrote no change, yeah.
And you have no change,
it lowered
too.
It
lowered. No change for 2019, I guess.
Yeah, that's the 2019. I'm trying to figure out why 18
dropped. Well, the 2019. Well, okay, I see what you... You show that 52,480. We show 50. Okay, it did get okay.
Yeah, we
okay.
Still show 52,480.
So no change.
But they want it down to 45. So they want it even lower.
Right. It isn't that. Lower. It's a pretty decent rental.
So you recommended no change. Okay.
Yeah. So what are we fine with the 52,480?
What did he go?
I don't think we can go any lower if they're selling for higher.
Yeah, it seems like it's low in my mind.
Yeah,
honestly.
Do we get any rents from him? I know we asked him for his rents.
I did get some rents from him. He did give me. Wow. There's one that's pretty shocking, but.
Okay. So, and you said the rest of them were not finalized yet.
We're working on those for Turk. That 27. Number 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 are all his properties, and we are trying to... I would like to finish those today, honestly, but we're a little behind there. I do apologize for that.
Okay. So those we can just...
Yeah, those we won't have a recommendation on yet.
Okay.
And I've kind of got the folders on some of that, too, just because they're turf cases.
Okay.
All right. So we'll move to 175357, Jesus or Claudia Navarro. They were at 17,000 last year and 26,765 this year. 311 West 13th.
Another
mobile
home.
This is a manufactured
single wide. Manufactured single wide. Yep.
These were traditionally going up this year.
Yep.
That's it. Is that it right there?
Is that the
and this one's not doesn't have any land. There's no. This is just the house itself here.
excuse me. Yep.
So after seeing what you just saw, you know, it might appear relatively low, but it's a lot smaller and a lesser quality, and no land.
So yeah, there was a sale for $29,000 on it once before. So you can see how they keep going up. That thing is sold for as little as 11 or 12 grand and as high as 29,000. That just shows that's where the market jumps ahead of what the depreciate. Because manufactured houses depreciate. We understand that, but doesn't change what somebody's going to pay you for it.
They hold their value like a Harley.
Yeah, I tell you what. It's almost. It's getting crazy at this point.
So
I don't know what we recommended.
26,765.
Okay, so you is that the same?
I think I said no change. Yeah. I mean, he did not support that manufactured housing goes down. It just only depreciates.
Yeah.
I'd say it depreciates faster than stick-built homes, but again, that's a relatively new one. It's in the court. It's decent.
Okay, let's move on to protest 39, 170878, Herman Fries, 251,640 and 269,750 this year. So,
Mr. Fries comes next year, I might quit. He believes his nephew next door is...
Right above the zero.
We need somebody working a calculator.
Yeah, I just was thinking of, I mean, I agree that that's probably the right value, but that I'm thinking in their perspective, that's a big jump.
Oh, it is. But see, he was fully aware it was what had happened here.
What's this a picture of?
The flood.
So we told Herman's the same way, and we're hoping.
The river did.
So we were hoping he turned in the 425. I think he's more upset with two things, mainly the flood again, and the other thing he's upset with is the land value went up, and it's what we told him last year was gonna. We combined his parcels.
Yep.
It was him and John Cain were both in the wrong neighborhood. So when we equalized him, we had to equalize him at neighborhood 100 with John, which is like half price. Well, that's an exaggeration, but a lot less. So what I told, when we fix this, you and John are both going to 104.
Next year.
You're going to only have two parcels. And he stood right here with me at this podium when we explained this.
Yep.
And don't tell him that that's what happened because he just, wild man. He thinks we're doing something wrong. I reset something. Or I told him, this is what we agreed to. I said, yes, your TURC relief that we stip, or our confessions of judgment relief, were based on neighborhood 100 land.
Mm-hmm.
Your 2019 going forward is equalized in 104 at about $40,000 an acre versus, well, actually 100 doesn't even go by the acre. They're all square foot. It's the oldest part of South Sioux, and it's the lowest land value we got in a city. So he just doesn't get it. And it's like anything else, it's hard to explain to him. And we've tried. I know the poor referee had to deal with it, but I don't know. I just, at this point, my opinion is we don't change it. We let him go to TURC, and then I'll give him the land equalization sheet to Commissioner Keetle. I'll let Commissioner Keetle explain it to him, and then we'll just be done with it.
I actually did the math on the land. I pulled the land table out, and this is one of those where it breaks down. Joan, could you scroll up, please, just for...
I'm probably getting carpal tunnel here.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, we're doing it.
A little bit more, please. I actually did the math for the land. The river stuff is ridiculously high right now. I have no idea.
Is this what you want?
Yes,
okay.
Right here.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sorry about the scribbles, but okay, so his land is price per square foot. If you just took land versus the value, his is technically higher. However, John Cain's land is larger. So Herman's is 49,233 square feet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which comes out to 212 a square, if you just do the simple math.
Yeah.
And Cain's is like $1.89 a square if you just do the simple math. However, okay, the first 22,500 square feet comes out to 58,500. So those are the same numbers, right?
And they both have that same.
They both have that. Then the next, I don't know.
I think it's 5,000.
Next 5,000 square feet is, I think it's $1.75 a square, and that comes to 38,961, and those are identical. The change comes in that last bit where Mr. Cain has a larger bit of land. Oh, at $1.25. There it is. I actually wrote it out. Yeah, $2.60, $1.85, and then $1.25, anything over that acre. It is equalized. That's how the land table is. He might disagree with it, but it is. Not, you just can't take price per square and do the math.
Because there's three different levels within that.
Right.
Yeah. High.
Exactly. Yeah. If you buy a little bit of land, it's... You know, it's $50,000. If you buy 2 acres of land, it's not $50,000.
Yeah.
You know, again. So.
To you, I mean, to a developer, that's why they buy it. Then they sell it 6 lots an acre, and they make 20. You know,
not the one that has that drainage on it, because that's worth nothing.
That's worth nothing. Yeah.
can't do.
Marty remembers.
That's right. Yeah.
So what you're saying, the land is equalized, right?
It is. Yeah. Equalized. I actually literally penciled it out. Yeah. So yeah, 22,500. There it is. It's down there under the comments. So that's how the land table works for everybody in that neighborhood, and it is exactly right.
Now, yes, I was a little same as his neighbor.
Yeah. I was nervous, but it's exactly.
Herman will make you nervous.
Yeah, Herman will make you nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime.
So that progress. It's kind of a progress, like a progressive.
Yes.
So the guy, going back to the one that had got bought more land, but his land was worth less, and that neighborhood apparently is not a progressive system.
It gets less as you go
higher. Yeah. More land drops a square foot, but it depends on where you hit the brakes. Okay. Did we actually put the CAMA table in here that values land, where we do the land?
I don't think so, but I don't.
But
know
if we find one, that'd be good because yeah. I can show Jan.
That's all right. I can look later, but I just
yeah.
If it's progressive, then that one we did a while back that it went down.
If they get just over the break, sometimes that one, like if they're just over a break, then that one will look like it's less.
Oh yeah, that's every parcel in neighborhood 104. And that shows their breaks and their value and just equalizes the entire. The only thing that's not equalized, there it is.
There it is. That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's the table.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to. Can we get a rack in here so we can hang in there?
I'm going to have to do some training in the office.
From the TV. Yeah. Your computer. That's the table.
But it'll show you. So there's different methods. Like there's an acre or a square foot. And it'll tell you, based on how many square feet you have, it stops at a certain point. So, like, it starts out at 2, the first column, when you find square
foot, value, yeah.
Yeah, 260.
The first 7,000.
And then it goes that, so it's $2.60 to your first break, which happens after 22,500 square. Then it drops down to $1.85. So if somebody is comparing his land with his neighbor, but his neighbor is 25,000 and he only has 22,500, he's gonna take his neighbor's and say, well, why isn't he at 260 for every square? Well, it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. It kind of works this way in 93 counties, actually.
Yeah.
This is how you're taught. But I mean.
No change in that.
Okay.
Get it figured out once and for all.
269,750.
And the flood would be the same, the 512 form for Mr. Herman.
Was he interested in that form?
Honestly, he wanted to argue the entire time. We didn't not even get there.
I think he wanted to place that form in parts of my anatomy.
He's very upset at Mr. Curry. Yeah.
Good. All right, so parcel 71004, Ralph and Jody Orr, 250-152nd Street, 159,470 last year, 163,930 this year.
I think we have her on our clerk because I had to remove some sheds, and their neighborhood was wrong. There's three houses over there.
Just south of Highway 20.
Yeah, right along the highway.
The old Beerman Brother DI, north of that, and just off of Highway 20.
You can see him just sitting down, before you get to Miller's Pond over there, as we call it, when it floods.
Minor changes to data on the buildings and such,
Yeah.
All right, so what was our recommendation on this one?
I lost track. They came in about twice a day for a week straight.
Twice a day?
Yeah, they just were not quit coming in.
59,710.
I don't know. I was trying to offer them coffee. They didn't want nothing.
So our recommendation was about $300 more than what they paid last year.
I think there's a couple of sheds fell off that were they're gone and were removed from the record and then recalculated the value.
Oh, I even changed my recommendation.
Yeah. That sounds
okay.
Good.
So 159,710.
What did you have? Or were we close?
Okay, so 175,055, Tasha Holes, 1558 164th Street. We went from 4,860 to 16,775. And businesses.
I have no idea what this.
Well, that's an old trailer.
And a mobile home.
Oh, this was the one. This was very dilapidated.
Is this the one?
This is the one, yes.
We quadrupled.
This one, we're going to recommend a reduction. It's
yes.
almost unlivable.
Is this the one that we got stuck trying to get to?
God.
We had two. One of them, the guys got stuck trying to get out to it. That's the one, $965.
$965?
Yeah, they shouldn't have. This is one we got to turn in to the fire chief and have him. It's...
Yeah, that's.
I don't even know. I mean, the best, the value on it's in the tires on the roof, really.
Yeah.
So when it goes from 4,000 to 16,000, that's just something the computer
the
does.
The table
turns.
Took it in. So if that was in perfect condition, they would say 16.
Yep.
That is the perfect example of depreciation. Nothing was ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the skirting is plywood leaning up against it and tires on the roof. And there's windows that have nothing but plastic and duct tape over them.
How many hours did we spend on that one?
A lot. Well, is it this? Well, there's two of them. The other one we got stuck.
How many hours? How much an hour?
Oh, shoot.
What'd the homeowner want on it? What were they asking?
So we're
they wanted
$300 to collect $14 in taxes.
Yeah.
I know.
That's a good business, man.
Yeah.
It is.
All right.
This one, I don't remember.
123519, Tina and Tanya Mellick, 1553 Oakdale, 126985 last year, 191145 this year.
Wow.
Is that a new deck?
Well, yeah, that's a little bit
looks
newer,
nice.
But yeah, they've got some additions on a. Mom and Dad live in a double wide.
Okay.
It doesn't really, it's a double wide, but they've added a lot to it. And the daughters, that's a sale.
That's comparable.
Yeah,
the subject is an acreage property. I think it's 9 acres. It has two houses on it. One's a 1965 bungalow.
That one.
With the deck, and then that's a manufactured house. That's probably the nicest manufactured house I've ever seen.
That's the worst picture we could possibly.
That's the back of the nicest manufactured house you've ever seen. But
so a manufactured house is a trailer.
Yep. We're still
okay.
Steel
for
how
we call it a trailer. All right, I'm gonna get this figured out by the end of the day.
So we've got
two houses.
9 acres.
And a Morton building, I believe.
Yep, there's a building.
This one, all we did here, we felt the condition on the house itself, not the main, or the 1965 bungalow house, was fair instead of average, and there was a slight reduction due to that. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Yeah. 1965 house is a 20 condition.
Okay. And then, yeah, we recount the number. It's so the 9 acres is 36,000. Both houses are 127. The building. 9980. So that's what we felt the recommendation.
172745.
So for both houses, they split their tax together.
They're on the same parcel. Yes.
Okay.
They're taxed together. Yes.
Okay.
Did the house just get moved in, the new one, or?
Well, they've been there
Yeah.
But we just didn't.
Yeah.
Have it right.
Quite have everything right on it.
Okay.
9791, the Infisane property.
That's my little
93770 last year, 103325 this year.
This is my base, my other basement guy.
Right, this guy's right over here on the corner, just half a block that way.
Yeah, we didn't spend as much time on him. We could just walk over there.
You can see the blocks are moving again here. There was a picture he did give me. You can actually see daylight from the basement.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that one had. Well, that was our issue last year, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we saw Thrasher trucks by it. And we just assumed they were getting fixing that. They must have been working for somebody else.
Yeah, that's.
There was Thrasher trucks there for a few days, yeah.
He was finally getting it fixed.
I just assumed it was him. But apparently it wasn't.
He wanted 81 and 96,250. Did he get Nebraska plates on all those vehicles?
You know, we should really check that when we're out on some of these places.
That's your job.
Never even thought of it. We're out there anyway.
That's why you asked.
Right? We might snap you guys a few pictures. We'll let you know.
Okay, so 96,250 is what we were at with him. Okay, 8477, Michael and Brittany Stamp, 108,250 and 131,515. This is...
Right now, just the other way, behind us.
Yeah, that was...
Quick Trip.
That's a nice property. They always keep it looking nice, too.
Yeah, Michael does pretty good.
And they got this nice boat, too.
Yeah, I sold them my river boat.
And they bought it for $160?
He bought it for $160. Oh, it's terrible. Two pieces. It's the house and a detached garage, and then another lot and another detached garage.
And he's only doing just the house and the original detached garage.
So that one,
not the new one.
Yeah, that $160 number is slightly, and that includes both. This one, he brought me in about 10 comparables. His quality was 25 in the computer, which was kind of fair plus, which all the comparables were fair. So we changed the quality to 20 to equalize. And he is now, there's a slight reduction for him.
128.
Yeah. 131. What did he want? 25,270.
I think, yeah, he wanted 110.
He wanted 110.
It was a crazy number.
Where do you see that? Where did you get that?
At the top. Yeah, right there.
Right here.
Okay. Owner's request.
I just changed the quality to equalize with the other. And there's a ton of houses in Dakota City the same. And they're all the...
Yeah.
So that one's equalized out.
Yeah, you understand with the ratings, the 20, and that when they're talking about that, it's kind of it's kind of so within what fair value. Kind of run through that just real quickly.
Yeah, so it could go as high as 6. When you see a 10 condition, that pretty much means it's time for the fire marshal to red tag it.
Okay.
Then that's an extreme. Then there's a 20. Which is fair, which is it probably needs some maintenance, you know, like a lot of houses do, but it's not in any danger or anything. 30's average, so that just means that somebody keeping up with their maintenance, you know. Okay. If the roof needs replaced, they do it. 40's good, which we usually keep for new construction because it generally doesn't get any better than that. Or if somebody goes in and roof, windows, siding, plus interior work, we'll put a 40 on it.
Okay.
Now, if somebody actually redoes it and resets the date, like some people go in there and will remodel a basement and gut the house and electrical plumbing and reset the life, those get a 50. Mm. So, and we only have probably three or four 50s in the county.
Yeah.
So it's rare to get...
brand new, 20s kind of here and 30s.
30, somebody's just maintaining, keeping it up. When you see the 20, they probably need to start getting some stuff done.
So sometimes when it's an easier way to adjust the value within a neighborhood. If you're looking, you know, his is in the same shape as a neighbor's, you know, and he's at a fair and he's at a good, then it's kind of a tool to
help pick the count so you can zero in on the right. So you're comparing 20s to 20s, not 20s to 40s.
Okay.
Because then it's not fair. You'll get somebody too high that doesn't deserve it.
I don't have Doug Barr here. Do we want to do anything on that?
Doug Barr is very complex.
Oh,
205191. Just to get the parcel number out there.
Yeah, this one's a 4,000 square foot house. About a third of it's a mother-in-law suite. It's in South Sioux. It's got a swimming pool. It's
a doctor.
He's a dentist, right? Yes. And beautiful house. I have no idea what that house is worth. It's going to take a little more research before we can give you a recommendation on that.
What we've been doing with him is using his appraisal, but that's starting to get old. So, you know, and there's only so much that the market will yield. You can overbuild in a place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's a $600,000 house, but just... you're not going to bring that in this county. Yeah. You might get 500, but you're not going to get 7. I've never seen a 600,000 sale.
It would be a top house sale in.
We've had a couple, I think a little over 5 is the highest I've seen, 5.25. And I think it was for the one right next to, on Old Sawmill there.
Oh, and that new?
Yeah, there's two, oh, the contractors, Hell and Hell Boys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Built both of them, actually, I think.
Probably Larry Buck.
Yeah, and then the guy that lives in the one.
Dean appraisal, too, is it in?
Yeah, I asked him to bring his appraisal too.
Okay.
So, and is this a? And I thought he'd use the same. And it's starting to get old.
2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's out of our range now to use it. I wanted to look at it again anyway.
So you guys gonna work into it? I mean,
yeah, we need to work on you know okay. What will the market actually yield for his place?
So okay. We're not making a decision.
And,
on
yeah.
Yeah. So okay. It just requires a little more
on
research.
Yeah. Okay.
Research
on
and you can go back 3 years on the appraisal. Is that right?
We usually do 2. Okay. I think the safe yeah. to stay safe. Yeah. You can go 2 if we absolutely get stuck. 3, you know what I mean? But this one even
this
stuck.
One's out of it.
Yeah.
Vitato, we do not
use. Oh,
Vitato is the same. He's a berm house. He's 3,200 okay. square feet, acres.
So 153,450, and we got no recommendation on that one.
Right. I'm going to give it. I'm going to work on that today as well. That one's impossible every year, but
yeah. He's regular.
Working
on there. Okay.
Okay, we had a formula we were using for him, but now I don't know if that still holds true because the market's changing.
Okay, so parcel 61904, Delbert and Cherie Lieber.
Oh.
We were at $50,950 last year, $72,510 this year.
We did a site inspection on this one. It's a beautiful old house again. It's maybe one of the oldest houses in the entire county.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the old bottom house down in there. Yeah.
Look at the brickwork. It's unbelievable. He believes, he was told by an irrigation expert that it's basically built on a spring or some kind of like underground water source. There's standing water in the basement most of the time.
Yeah, it is.
It is it is unlivable. The utilities do not work. Renting it to a it's like 7 acres. He's renting it to someone who's just pasturing their horses on that kind of that east half of it. The most valuable thing on it besides the land would be a detached garage, which is kind of a fair condition 2-car garage.
So what's your recommendation?
We decided to lower this one as well. Let's see. I can't recall the numbers.
I don't remember what we had. We worked on it for
this
a
one
while.
Is very difficult as well.
So, we did that because the only his improvements he made to it
55.2
were just to lock it up so people wouldn't go in there and get hurt. So we put a new door on it. He needs to push it in, but I don't think
that'd be the better thing to do, wouldn't it? To take it off the rolls.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the heart to do it. I honestly think he liked that. He thought maybe he could do something with it, and now he realizes.
We were gonna call it like a dime a brick, something like that.
I like to raise it once every 2 years because Dell's getting out there keeps his heart charged, and I miss Dell when he doesn't come in and visit with me. So I like it when Dell comes in and visits. So we bring him in about every 2 years just to visit. He's our buddy.
All right. 154937 Diana Spurk. 73,850 last year, 98,800 this year.
I think I'm still working on that one. Yeah, I'm still working on that one.
Okay, so that one.
Yeah, still works.
I don't remember that one.
Okay, 201307 Christian and Stephanie Richards, 1309R, 132,625 last year, 187,445 this year.
The issue with those folks
is that they had a swimming pool on the property as of January 1st, and they came in and brought in pictures. They have dismantled that swimming pool and regraded the land. Okay. On there. So the swimming pool is removed, and they stated it was removed in June.
In-ground swimming pool?
And it went
in-ground,
down?
In-ground, yes.
Went up.
Yeah, it's this one's another manufactured double wide.
Yeah, it's a double wide manufactured home. They had no issue with any other part of the valuation. It was just the fact that the pool had been removed.
$187,000. In 2018, it was removed.
No, just now, because we had new aerial photos of 19, and it just looked
there
like
there should
dirt.
Be an adjustment for that for this year.
We don't have to. No. We thought about doing it because they took a hit because of the manufactured housing increase. So we thought we'll just, rather than argue with them, because it seems like they may go to, you know, if I think we're going to end up at Turk anyway, to save us money over haggling over a few thousand dollars, then we'll take something like that.
How many acres is this one?
I don't remember. It's an acreage. It should be up on the. Where's the land? What do we got up here? Neighborhood 29. Must be down.
Well, here's your legal.
It's like an acre and a half, I think.
Oh, this is Hurtado.
Oh.
And what is
it? It's between 1 and 2 acres.
Is
right there.
Right there.
Stop.
Yeah, so 1 point something.
1.0 to 1.99.
Lot size over on the right underneath.
Is that the one that's just off like Walker Island School? You go west there out on the stone ground. Where's this piece of property at?
No, this one
1309
is
R
Avenue.
It's way out in the country.
Where is that property? No.
It's a picture of it right there.
636 142nd Street.
Oh,
that's a comparable something. That's Hurtado.
Okay.
You're my comps. I'm sorry.
I didn't see their card. So
yeah.
What is that card there? That one says
That's Hurtado. So I'm looking for.
We're looking.
I saw pool.
That's
pictures.
Another comp.
Richard. Yeah, that's a sale.
So if the creek. Race up again, Jeff, and my swimming pool is gone. Mind you, going to lower my taxes?
Yeah, all you got to do is put dirt in it. I'm not even going to quantify how much dirt.
A couple handfuls of dirt.
So it goes down when your swimming pool goes away, your valuation goes down.
Yeah.
That's weird.
We're going to get rid of them pools.
Well, is that for above ground too, or just below ground?
We don't even. The only thing we pick up on the above ground is the deck. Once you dig into the dirt, then it gets expensive, but drops quickly.
So Dick Marks is filling his swimming pool.
I'm still trying to find.
Who is?
I would help. It still would be tough, even if he didn't have the swimming pool. His is still tough.
Old Doc Marks, yeah, he's still got to fight that. I just want to say those graphs are beautiful, too, by the way.
They are pretty nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to see 104.
Oh, yeah, there is the pool.
This
It looked like it was in pretty sad shape.
Yeah.
It is.
They even want swimming.
Looks like they just cleaned it.
These are the four photos that they brought in there, as you can see.
Showing
that
it's gone.
They have regraded the area.
Is there a picture just the front of the property?
Just the pool area.
They didn't bring us any new ones. Did we put our picture in the front?
No, I can't find it.
Oh.
I want to see $144,000 mobile home.
I can look and see if it's in the other. I doubt it.
I need to start putting axles on any of the houses I build.
Yeah, I know it.
There you go.
What do we have here, Matt?
We went to 170.
His land is pretty.
But the improvement's 144.5.
They didn't submit anything.
They did not submit any other
Do we have the record card here so I can see it?
Do you have it with you?
61? Is it in that?
I don't have it here.
Like these are mine.
Yeah.
Those are yours?
We can go to the assessor site and pull up the card.
There you go.
Oh.
I mean, you can't buy a lot of house for $144,000, but you can buy some house for $144,000. I just want to see the one on wheels that's worth that.
That would, well, you know, the craziest one we got is that one they remodeled in Jackson. That sold for
$205,000.
The one on the main drag?
Yeah.
Right on the main, yes.
How about the house in Jackson that's on the I-beams? Is that, you got the assessment right?
Oh, I-beams? No, that's a feature. I mean,
it sold.
Yeah.
Did it get sold?
Yeah.
Do you know what they got out of it?
22.
Did it?
Wow.
It didn't look like a bad little house. It was yeah. Straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice little house for Grandpa and Grandma. For me and Dina, when we get older, we can't.
Uh-huh. And we have the parcel. Boss, I've been trying to get them to get my name off of that.
Oh, I
they just need to put assessment office on there. We don't know who the assessor is.
Would be nice, sir.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is. I don't like him anymore than anybody
their
else.
Their email address.
Yeah. I think it's the guys at MIPS hate me. That's why it's out there.
I'm on the same
page. Yeah, are you did it? Yeah.
Who's not just random pages besides that?
I'm not sure where that one is. Let's see. That's
the that's one we're talking about.
It's near Oakdale Road. Isn't it out that way somewhere, out towards Ponca, out that way? Or I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
I honestly can't think of where R is. I don't know what R is.
If I scoot back here, you can
that's
see.
That's
in
the
there we go.
Okay.
So where are we at?
Right there, Jeff.
Marty, look here. There's Highway 120. Here's Sarpy.
Okay.
R.
Here is, where is
Holy
the
Hannah,
12?
That's
here's 12.
Wow.
It's way up
yeah.
there.
Yeah, way out there.
It's north of 20.
North of 20?
By Jackson?
Yeah. Yeah. Over there? Here's
yeah.
20.
Yeah.
Oh, that's 20 there.
Here's
okay.
Highway 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, it is. Oakdale. Yeah, it's out in that.
Yeah.
Whether more
pictures. So that chart that for the what do we call it, manufactured homes, mobile homes. So that thing just falls right in that chart there.
Well, I don't know if I have one at 144, but I don't know what else is on the property that adds to that improvement, because on a it could be a couple of garages and a pole building or.
There are some improvements.
Pool house,
I don't remember what
open,
they were.
Mobile home, attached garage, and a, yeah, I don't know.
And a detached garage, I believe.
Was this the swimming pool here?
Home. That's the swimming pool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in-ground pool, huh?
But they tore that out.
That's the one that was
removed. And we, because the manufactured home brings.
And it's 8.98 acres.
Oh.
8.98 acres.
So from last year to from 132 to 170, they, I guess that's where I'm confused too, how it could have gone.
Well, the improvements from 9 went up.
Well, what did they do?
$54,000.
It was improved.
That $54,000 is just the new chart for mobile homes?
Yeah. What's that?
That $54,000 on the value of the improvements would be based on the table that says the mobile homes are worth more?
I don't know. I'd have to see that zoomed in. I want to see what the other improvements. I don't have any $54,000 increases I'm aware of.
Is this one we had last year, all the acreages went up?
Yeah.
Did this one not go up? And this might have included the acreage.
The land is the same.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh,
that's weird.
If they protested last year, maybe. I mean, there's a lot of different, but I don't think a trailer should have went, even a double wide.
$64,000?
Yeah, and we can go back and look at my sales comps and see what, you know, what I'm saying. Rural acreages are going up.
I'm all for, you know, everybody, you know, taxes being all right, but it just seems like
$64,000 on a double
window. Maybe you want to hold off on this one, take a look at it a little bit more.
Without my system, I can't.
Take a look at it.
Okay, let's move on to parcel 70075, Carl Hines. 44,680 last year, 45,345 this year. We went up $700. Almost 700.
The 450 Golf, I believe, is Mr. Hines' residence. He was actually wanting to protest on the other parcel that he owns, and I believe it's 425. Or if you, Joan, if you scroll down to his form there.
Oh, we took his trailer off. It should just be a garage and land.
Right. Yeah, there was originally a trailer on that property there. It was removed. The only thing that is there is a garage and a lean-to attached to it.
Little shop area.
So this is the wrong, I'm in the wrong file. This is what I want to be in. Okay, yeah,
there you go.
So,
70075.
62.
What was that one?
Yep,
that
62.
That kind of bothers. Carl Hines.
Okay.
You did a lot of little.
Those were, as you can see, someone went in there and scratched out the improvements that were removed. The circled area there is the garage and lean-to that is the only items remaining on there. I asked him what kind of condition it is in. He said it was in poor condition. He thought it was worth nothing. He did say that he put a new roof on there about 3 years ago as a result of the hailstorm. That tarp is on the side of the property there, and I think a part of it is on the roof as well. Not in real good shape, but it's worth something. As you can see, it hasn't been painted in a long time. But
26,615.
Yes.
Was the land value okay?
Just the land value did not change. Just the outbuilding improvement changed.
Is it this one?
So we we lowered it almost 20,000 from last year.
Right.
Because of what he. Okay.
Did we ever force these people to get rid of these buildings that look dilapidated? And I mean, it would be to their benefit from a tax point of view, and for the neighborhood. I mean, it just seems like there should be a.
He did state that. If he ever sold the property there, that at least someone would have something to park a vehicle or something into for a time being. Mm-hmm. But as you can see there, the outbuilding does not have much value. It is because of condition.
Okay, protest 63154104, Russell and Katie Pick, 200,000 last year, 212,340 this year.
He brought in, and I'm not, I apologize, I am not completed with that review yet, but he brought in several sales and several other items regarding the neighborhood there.
That's the Hines one. 26,615.
And Jeff actually wrote a rebuttal that is part of the file on his sales that he brought in. I just have not had a chance yet to go through them all and review them there.
Okay.
Some more research on
that
one.
So more research is needed on that.
We'll
one.
Move yes, on ma'am. To protest 70 then. 59934. Karen Nagel, Karen C. Tullis and Rockford, 221,990 last year, 225,490 this year. 1232 St. James Street.
Right. He is claiming that there is this St. James Road north of his property. There's a road there, and I don't know the name of the road, just on the north end of his property. And then from St. James is north of there, and the road, I'm sorry, Jackson is...
Yeah. Is north of that bridge that we were going to...
Right. He's claiming that the bridge may be deteriorating in structure, and also that his property is in a floodplain. His lender required or asked for flood insurance, and he protested that with his lender. He said that his house is not in there. I asked him how he determined that. He said he had a surveyor come out and do an elevation evaluation, and that survey indicated that the house was not in the floodplain.
Not in the 100-year or 500-year?
That's what he claimed.
This week, okay.
That's what he's claiming. Now, I asked him if he had anything from FEMA, and he said he did not.
We got a map out the county.
Yes.
Shed.
Yeah.
The weekend.
It hasn't changed several years.
Oh, okay.
They may be in the process of redoing it, but as of our time frame here, FEMA has not updated that map.
I see.
Okay, so we see the same.
So, yeah. The issue there, and Jeff, in his comments, indicated that a FEMA or an issue with the bridge north of his property there are not valuation or equalization issues. And so, therefore, there's, in my recommendation, I would not say no change to the value of his property.
Okay. Okay. 74305, Ronald Patricia Rayner, 129330 last year, 132620 this year.
He protested in the year, too.
Yeah, he's one of the regulars.
Oh, yeah.
There's a file on him. Did we want to review that?
Rayner, I don't know. Who's that?
Rayner's on G Avenue, right there. Just south of the Twin Churches, on the east side of the road.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a regular.
Yeah, he's a regular.
Yeah, it's an acreage.
Yeah, and I am, and again, I apologize here, I am still working on that one as well. So okay. I'm sorry I don't have a recommendation at this time on that.
Okay. We'll move on then to 34664. Earl and Charlotte Haddock, 184525 last year, 208460 this year.
I am still working on that one.
Haddock. 184-208.
Okay. Well, if we're still working on that one, we'll move on.
Yeah, I apologize. I don't have a one on that one yet.
Okay, to 55408, Craig and Barbara Pitts, 254805 last year, 244600 this year. So this one's going down. Do we have...
Pitts.
They want it to go down more?
Condition.
Oh, you went after this one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's one.
They tried to kill me standing in the driveway, not half his age, I think. That hot day.
He wanted to go down more? Is that what he's requesting?
I think he did there. Joan, if you would...
I don't know what he wanted, I guess.
Go down to...
I was dodging wasps and... trying to figure out why his window were straight in the hole and... LIT. There. 236 is what you guys have.
Yeah, well, that's what we did. Joan, if you would go up to the top of that page. There. He was asking for 224.1.
Okay. You need to go to 244.
So we've gone down about 20,000 for him from last year. And I would assume that's based off of condition.
Yeah, condition dropped from a 30 to a 20.
Okay.
Eaves, soffits, windows, got some grating issues in the back of the house. He's infested with wasps, and they're angry, and I do mean angry. Little fat guy running around the backyard, it was embarrassing.
Okay.
That's all I can say. It was a bad day for me. And then he wants to stand in the hottest part of his house, in the driveway under the sun, for half an hour and visit. I just prayed to have no sweat moments.
That's well, how he
wore
you down.
It wore me down. Obviously, it worked. Just trained wasps.
Okay. 45968 Oswaldo and Estella Moreno. 7360 last year, 75490 this year. So we've gone up about 2,000. Is he one of our? Is Oswaldo one of our regulars too?
Just well, he's starting. He's coming. I think this is 2 years in a row now, isn't it? Pretty sure.
I thought three.
Oh, is it three? Maybe it is. Yeah, Oswaldo, and he's got a nice this place here. We're talking.
Yeah.
What those things bring?
It's a small little house.
Those things just shock me. What people are writing checks for? It's just scary. Logical person wouldn't do it, but. They have a reason. Everybody has their own.
So what's our recommendation on this one?
I can see you want to go up, Kevin.
Where are we going up here? Ooh, did you see that histogram? You see that histogram?
I've seen several there.
That baby there was
very
dead.
Nice.
Aww.
Very nice.
I'm whip that out of the meeting. Nobody knows what it is. And dazzle them. Oh, my gosh. I don't think I've seen one of those sell for under 100,000. How bad a shape is
so
that?
So 75,490 is no change.
There's no change there.
Yeah, he's lucky.
Lucky.
To be there.
You got that right.
Okay.
And you made a note to increase it in 2020.
Oh, did I make a note to go up? I may have. I felt like I said, that's all my sales were over 100,000 for those. And it's just like crazy.
Okay.
But what you can make in rent on something like that.
More than pay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so that is it for what we've got today. So, so for this, okay, we did, so we need a motion to accept the recommendations on parcel, or I can just do protest numbers, right? I don't need to read the parcel numbers.
I say protest.
I think we can do that, since we've already read the parcel number. For protests 12, 13, 14, 16, 18, 19, 20, 23, 24, 25, 26, 38, 39, 42, 43, 44, 46, 47, 57, 62, 70, 79, and 101.
That's your motion?
Yep, I will make that motion to accept the recommendation for those protest numbers. Can I do two motions? Or we don't need to take any... We don't need to take any action on the ones that we don't have anything for.
Let's make that a separate motion.
Okay.
So then, has anybody seconded your motion yet, Kevin?
No.
I'll second your motion, Kevin.
Look at this comp.
Some of them we kept the total current value and some we didn't get referee, right?
Right, yeah.
So
right.
They were the same. Sometimes they were the same.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And then... You tell me when you're ready.
Okay.
And then I will make a motion on protest numbers 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31, 48, 49, 60, 61, 63, 71, and 72 that we will take no action on at this time.
I second.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, so our next agenda item is F, and that is the 1:30 to 2:30 webinar regarding LB 512 and the filing of Form 425. And it is not that time yet. So we will be in recess. It is currently 11:32. We will go into recess, and we will reconvene at 1:30.
And so anyway, to provide us with a little bit of background for that, we have the property tax administrator who's going to take us through some of the ins and outs of how the statute works. I'll turn it over to you, Ruth. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, and hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Before we start taking questions or reviewing questions, I think all the questions are being held to the end until we answer some questions that were posed in advance. Before we start that, on our website at the revenue.nebraska.gov/TAD, we have the Report of Destroyed Real Property Form 4425. We also have put out some Q&As or FAQs for county assessors to use. That's also on our website on the front page. And then we have suggested practices and information to use by the county boards of equalization. So we've been trying to address many of the questions that we have been receiving into these moving documents, and they will be updated as needed. And so with that, I will be happy to start any questions and answer anything that I can possibly answer.
All right. Like I described earlier, or like we described earlier, we have a few questions that have been submitted directly to us in advance of today's session, and so I'll just jump right into that. The first one is, what is the correct procedure for the 425 forms? Fortunately, the question is not nearly as nebulous as that. It goes on to say, my understanding is the owner files the report by July 15th. The county board reviews and decides on a reassessment value, which is sent to the property owner by July 25th. Then the owner can file a protest of this value within 30 days. If the protest is filed, then a hearing is scheduled for the owner to go before the board. After this, the owner can file a protest with TURC.
This is going to, as John said, this is a lengthy question. This is going to need some clarification. The first clarification is the County Board of Equalization reviews and decides on a reassessment value by July 25th. Or in counties that have 100,000 inhabitants or more, that could be extended if they pass a resolution, and that would be August 10th. So then on or before August 2nd or August 18th, if there's a extended deadline, the county clerk will mail the property owner written notice of the board's decision. This is tied into 77-1502, much like the process you follow now. Then at that point, the property owner can file a protest of that value if they're dissatisfied, and they would file that with the board within 30 days. If the protest is filed and there's a hearing scheduled for the owner to go before the board, much like a protest, after this, if the property owner is still dissatisfied, an appeal can be filed within 30 days.
Okay. And is it,
And then I'll follow up on that, Ruth. Is it possible for county boards to hear the reassessment value at the same time that they're hearing protests?
Yes, and they can do that, and that's also included in the documents that you mentioned that are on our website.
Okay. All right, our next question has to do with the 20% threshold. If a landowner has several outbuildings which combined are worth over $100,000, and they lose a shed which is only worth a couple thousand dollars, can they qualify for relief or not? That's the first part. The second question is, what if the assessor doesn't have a value on that shed?
Okay, in the law, if you read exactly how the law is written, it indicates that significant property damage means damage to an improvement exceeding 20% of the improvement's assessed value in the current tax year as determined by the county assessor on January 1st. It says an improvement, so we are not going to add all those improvement values together. We're going to look at it improvement by improvement to determine if it's 20% of the value or not that was destroyed or damaged. And then also the second question is what, so in this fact scenario, we would not combine both the $100,000 of all improvements. We would, if they had just lost the shed, we would just look at the shed and what was the value of the shed, and is 20% of the value gone or destroyed? So then if the assessor doesn't have a value on the shed, I would hope there would be a value on the shed. There should be a value on the shed, unless, of course, it's dilapidated and it is no value. But I would work with the county assessor to determine the value of the shed if there is no value on the property record.
Okay. And typically on the property record, they'll list out the land value plus the improvement, the value of the improvements. And is it a good practice to list out the value of the individual improvements then, in case you have something like this?
Yes, that, in fact, many counties already do. I can't think of any that don't. They'll have a pool bar, they'll have a shed, they'll have a garage, they'll have a faucet, and those will all have separate values on them but are then combined into the total improvements on that property record.
Yeah, all right. Okay, our next question that we have here says, what are we supposed to do with property that is flooded? How do we know what 20% damage is? And what about property with silt?
For this question, what are we supposed to do with property that is flooded? We need to determine if the value of what is flooded, if that acres can't be used for agricultural use any longer. So what we would do is what I've been indicating to assessors, if we look at value, not acres. But however, if we start with the number of acres, then we determine the value assigned to the acres on that parcel. So then based on that value, we calculate the value of those acres that are underwater. And if the value of those acres that are underwater is more than 20% of that parcel of the land, then that may qualify. And that's how you would want to calculate that. As far as property with silt, which is the fine sand or whatever was left behind, the question would have to be fact specific. You would have to look at, can the land be used? Is it going to become, is it still part of it being used for agricultural purposes or not? And again, you'd have to look at how much silt is on there, what needs to be done for the property owner to begin producing again, and look at whether that value is 20% or more.
Okay, so if you don't mind me kind of following up on that, mm-hmm. So just the back kind of I've heard a couple of times. So if I have a, let's say I've got a core section of ground, and this year is part of my rotation that's supposed to be in corn, and flooding came along, and it's flooded out, I didn't plant corn this year. However, I could plant beans. I guess what I'm hearing you say is that the question, the core question for the county board, the county assessor, to focus on is whether or not the market value itself has been diminished, not whether or not they were able to provide a crop. Am I hearing that correctly?
You are hearing that correctly because we don't value crops. We value the land that is being used. And so we would have to look at the land and the use of the land. I also have had questions on this, and there are times that I know there's been newspaper articles and things about this 5 foot of sand that's left behind. That would no longer be agricultural land because they can't use it for an agricultural purpose. So it would have to become like a residential, or if they turn it into recreational sand volleyball or whatever they're going to do with it. But unfortunately,
Unfortunately, those are the fact scenarios we're hearing. And I've heard a similar scenario as well. I'll ask a question related to, you know, you get 5 feet of silt on a quarter section, but I'm still farming another 3/4 of that same section. So if that is unusable, but it's still in conjunction with the agricultural land that I'm already currently farming, could that be considered waste then and have a waste value assigned, or would the assessor want to reclassify it based on what it's, I guess I don't know what the assessor probably should do in that situation.
Well, as we know, waste has to be contiguous to ag land. So it's got to be the same ownership. So if the same owner owns all of that land and they're still farming 3/4 that wood, then the stuff, the acres under the silt could be considered waste.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Our next question, if someone's house burns down because they were smoking in bed, do they qualify?
No, this is specific in the law. It specifically states destroyed real property does not include property suffering significant property damage that's caused by the owner of the property. And this would be caused by the owner of the property.
Yeah. I would also add that earlier in the statute, there's a provision that talks about fires, floods, and other natural disasters. And this probably, smoking a bed probably isn't a natural disaster.
Correct. I would agree.
Yeah, so it kind of goes along with what the legislature intended for this statute to apply to. Okay. We're whizzing through these things. So hopefully those of you in our web audience, if you've got questions, please send them into our moderators so we don't run out. But our next question, on a farm property, would you include the house value in figuring 20% total improvement value if the damage is only on the outbuildings or vice versa, if damage is only on the house and not the outbuildings? This seems like it's similar to the question we had a little bit earlier.
Very much similar, and it would be each individual improvement. You would look at the individual improvements to determine the 20% destroyed real property.
Okay. Next question. I'm thinking when figuring 20% of ag land total value, you would not include the site acres, only the cropland and grass / trees. Correct. And so perhaps this would be a good opportunity for us to clarify what site acres are in case that comes before the county board.
Site acres would be those acres where a home sets the first couple acres of the homestead. Anywhere that there's buildings, basically that's the site value. And the law is not specific to agricultural land. In fact, it says damage to land exceeding 20% of the parcel that's at assessed land value as determined by the county assessor. Therefore, you would include all acres, no matter if it's agricultural, site value, or recreational, or waste, or whatever the acres are. You would look at the total number and determine that value. Again, the agriculture, again, not just the ag value, the whole value of all the land on the property, and it is the destruction, 20% of that value or more.
Okay. And the last pre-submitted question that we have is, what about property where removing the silt will cost more than the property is worth?
Well, this one is going to be a determination of the County Board of Equalization. What we have indicated on the form is for them to provide as much documentation to the County Board of Equalization as possible. And if removing the silt is going to cost a lot of money, it's a management decision as to whether that property owner will take that action. And is, again, we go back to, is that silt covering or damaging more than 20% of the land on that parcel? And so we would have to look to see many of these are going to be fact-by-fact scenarios and situations, and we would have to look to see if it's 20% of the value where that silt is that needs to be removed.
Right. And as Ruth said, these are going to be, factual decisions that the county board has to make. We had an unprecedented disaster that occurred across the state of Nebraska earlier this year. Frankly, we had legislation that's fairly unprecedented that hadn't been passed before for our legislatures, and so you as county boards, you get to set the precedence as far as how we're going to be proceeding in the administration of this law. So thanks for listening as far as that goes. But anyway, we've run out of the pre-submitted questions. And I'm going to turn to our moderator, Candace Meredith, to see if we've received any questions from the web audience at this point. None yet. Well, obviously we're doing a terrific job of answering the questions from the pre-submitted stuff and having gone through the law. But anyway, we'll wait just a few seconds to see if anyone's got anything that they would like to have.
Are you having a lot of these Form 425s filed in your county?
A couple.
That's a question that I have.
Okay. And it appears that we've got a question from the web audience.
Okay, we got one that says, please discuss the site acre again. Are they included in the total?
Please discuss the site acres again. Are they included in the total?
Yes, it would look at the total land value for that parcel.
Yes,
all land, the value of that land, and is the destruction 20% or more? Because there is no, does not break out site value, does not break out agricultural land. It does not break out, it just says land, total land. So on that parcel, you would have to look at the total value of the land and then determine if the damage or destroyed part of the parcel is more than 20% of the value.
The 20%.
That's not good.
All right.
Do we get a realtor?
We have any other questions?
Ms.
We have an ag parcel valued at $1 million with a cleanup estimate of $1.5 million. The county board will look at the assessor for assistance. Who do we advise?
Can you tell us who's asking the question?
Debbie Churchill.
I'm not understanding the question as to who do we advise.
So is the question, who does the county assessor advise? Are they advising the taxpayer or are they advising the county board?
And to fill in here, understand that the county assessor is not involved in this process. As it is currently written, we are just encouraging them to work with the County Board of Equalization. And so what the County Board will have to do is look at what the value was as of January 1st. And looking through the documentation that's provided, again, determine is that more than 20% of the total value of the parcel. And this $1.5 million looks like it will be, if you have it valued at $1 million.
And also, Debbie, kind of add a little bit of context. Under statute, the county assessor or his or her delegate is required to attend all meetings of the County Board of Equalization. And so certainly to the extent that you received the Form 425 and you have a knowledge as to what the taxpayer is going to be claiming as far as their reassessed value, you'll have the opportunity to provide that advice to the board. Certainly we would hope that the boards are going to be asking their county assessor for some sort of input as far as that's all concerned.
And that, you answered her question, I believe.
Okay.
That's what that last part there.
Thank you, Debbie.
You guys have a question?
Is this law set up for just this year or just this flood?
No, this is going to continue into the upcoming years until there's some change for the legislature. So it took effect for 2019, and we anticipate it to be here on in the law for at least a couple of years. Again, depending on legislative action.
Right, and to a certain extent, your experience is going to be crucial as far as knowing what sorts of things need to be tinkered with in the law. And so, if there's an aspect of the statute and your obligation that isn't quite working for your county, certainly we would encourage you to reach out to the Department of Revenue, to NACO. We're the folks that we end up working with senators to try and get legislation passed. So if there are any tweaks that need to be made, this young lady right here is probably one of your best resources, and certainly NACO is here to help as well.
Okay. From Megan from Nance County. So the CBOE has a hearing on the destroyed property, and it can be protested and heard with the CBOE again. And how would that decision be changed?
Well, what it's going to be, hi Megan, it's going to be very similar to the 77-1502 process. So what's going to happen, and we've tied these dates into the overvalued, undervalued reports as well. So what's going to happen is, much like a protest,
Property owner will come in. County board will determine the value. Property owner is still dissatisfied. At that point, they will go to the Tax Division Review Commission. However, in this situation, this is a reassessment value once we can overvalue and undervalue. And so a new notice will have to be sent to the property owner and give them a new 30-day right to appeal. And so they'll appeal to the board. The board will again meet, and then they'll move to court. Much like the overvalued, undervalued, we just send out a protest, evaluation notice. They can protest on that, and then if they bring overvalued, undervalued, they get another notice, and they can protest on that as well.
Going back to one of the questions that Ruth had asked the audience earlier, just speaking from my own experience, I've had the privilege of attending a few county boards of equalization and being in a few of the assessor's offices. And there have been a fair amount of forms for treatment already been filed. So, yeah, we could probably expect that we're going to see a few of them
right.
or at least come through.
Right.
And Megan's follow-up was, does the CBOE have to notify the property owner of a date and time of the hearing and give them a chance to state their case, similar to a protest hearing?
The County Board of Equalization right now with the protest hearings, they're only required to put on the notice what dates the board will be meeting. It's a courtesy for the counties to notify protesters as to the exact date and time. I would encourage them to, so that people can, so if properties get the due process and come in and hear the county board discuss their property. However, it's not a requirement in the law at this time.
Will the questions and answers discussed in this meeting be available on the website?
On the Property Assessment Division website? I would be happy to if Mr. Cannon here would compile them for me, because they're recording it, and we'd be happy to. Again, like I indicated, these documents that I told you that already exist, they are living documents. So we would add to those documents as needed. Many of these questions are answered in these documents, so won't be redundant or repetitive, but we won't answer anything that's newly asked to respond.
And to follow up with that question, we are recording this. NACA will make all the recordings available to the Property Assessment Division, and if you want to publish it on the State Sales Files website, we also will transcribe the questions we take from that. We'll make sure we get the words to the Property Assessment Division.
On that note, for those of you in the cyber world, wherever you're located, I'm in the NACA building in Lincoln, Nebraska, but on our Department of Revenue website, there's a circle that's white and it has an I for information in that circle. If you click on that and fill out that form, you will get emails anytime we update our website. They'll come right into your email inbox. And so you would know when these documents are being updated if you were to go ahead and sign up for that. It's called gov.delivery.
Yeah, for my part, I've signed up for it again. Fairly frequent updates from the Department of Revenue and from other state agencies, and you can sign up for multiple email addresses. So I have updates that come to my NACO address. I have some that go to my Gmail address. I even have some that go to my Hotmail address. I won't tell you what those are, but I do get those updates from time to time.
Yeah, you need to do that.
Probably do.
I won't say it. Get a lot. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, no, you can. He follows the board, but he does.
Okay. Do all counties now have the August 10th extension date available to them? Do we have to pass a resolution to get that extension? Tom, reply.
You have to have 100,000 inhabitants, Tom. So there's only a certain number of counties that can pass that resolution in August. And so if you don't have 100,000 inhabitants in the county, then no, you would not be able to pass a resolution to extend the deadline.
Tracy Reiser, how does the county board decide if 20% value is lost? If it is 20% lost, does the board have the 20% from the value and set that as a new value?
This is a complex question. What we would have to do, again, it's fact specific. as John had indicated earlier, he gave the hypothetical of 3/4 of the parcel was still usable as ag and the remaining would be waste, you would have to determine the waste value in that situation. So it's not just the straight 20% off what the county assessor established in January. We would have to take a look at what would the new value be. Is it usable and habitable as well for a home?
Okay, Jay Goodrich, we have a protest file that says they did not have access to field due to pooling of water, unable to hay, and not in the prevent plant program. With that statement, the pooling could be gone by protest time. How does the board determine the damage?
If the pooling is gone and they're using the property, I'm not really sure there would be a lot of destruction. We would have to look at the situation, Joe, and determine whether, because you're going to have the flooding along the roadsides. You're going to have that then subsides and seeps into the ground. And if you can then access the property, again, they always have the right to file this report, and they always have the right to show pictures and ask the board for some relief. And the County Board of Equalization has that right to grant that relief. But again, you would want to look at the used. And is it usable, and is how much destruction took place? Because I do know there was flooding one year in March, and again in June. And so in March they recovered and got it back to being used, and then the second flood came along. So they could probably file for March and for June in that situation to determine if there is 20% of the land or 20% of the improvement destroyed.
Okay, back to Tom at Platt. Do we have to have all the changes done by July 25th? What if we can't get to them all by that date?
Tom, is your question, do you have to have the changes in your CAMA system, the updated values? I think that's your question. And again, the county, this is much like protests, undervalued, overvalued. You're going to want to get those values changed so that they're on the tax roll correctly. And there is no deadline as far as getting those done until your tax roll time, the school adjusted report time. So, again, the clerk doesn't have to send these determinations of August 2nd or 8th, I believe, as I indicated earlier. And so if they send them, you would have some time to get those values in your system. I hope that is responsive.
He hasn't responded yet, so we'll stand by on that one. If a Form 422 and a destroyed property form is filed and heard at the same time, for example, July 11th, the Form 422 is based on what was there as of January 1st, correct? The CBOE would then make the determination on the destroyed property after that, correct?
Yes, that would be the process that in fact, we have that. I believe as suggestions in the county board suggested notes as far as, yeah, this, you know, here the January 1st value, and then here the at the same time that you determine the reassessment value, if you determine that there is real property that's been destroyed. But only one notice will have to come from the board. You don't have to send a notice on the Form 422 protest form. You would have to send a board notice on that. You can send it on the final value the board determines based on the Form 425.
So is it possible, Ruth, that, and I'll just all make up numbers, I could have a January 1 value of $100,000. I protest that value, and I say, well, no, it's January 1 value was $95,000. And I say that after whatever the catastrophe is, my July 1st value is actually $80,000. If I prevail on that first protest, and then I get to the second protest, I say, well, my new value is $80,000. It's 80 divided by $95,000. That's going to be less than 20%.
That could happen. But what I am anticipating the county boards to do is hear them both and determine an overall value on the Form 425. And when they did the Form 425, they would look at, should the January 1st value have been different? And then we'll go on from there. But that could happen.
We have Jay Spencer. Dakota County has residents' homes that was flooded by Missouri River. He filed 425. Is he required to show the 20% loss? Do we send out an appraiser?
Can you repeat that question?
Dakota County has residents' home that was flooded by Missouri River. He filed a 425. He is required to show the 20% loss, as in a question mark. Do we send out an appraiser?
The property owner is required to give you what we have. It's not enough. We just recommend that they provide documentation to show the damage to the property. And if it's just a flooded basement, it may not reach that 20% threshold. And if you would want to confirm that, the county is more than welcome to send out appraisers. However, your county assessor will know the detail of that property, whether it was finished basement, whether it wasn't, and how much destruction there is in that basement.
Okay.
If you're wondering why people over here, the moderator, he's right there. If you're hearing this,
somebody's
voice in that direction.
Okay. Trisha, she has, do we just reclassify as waste, and if they farm again, change it back to farmland? And then she goes on to say 100 AC and 25 destroyed. Can we just change it back to farmland value? I meant to send this first. So...
So we have a hypothetical of 100 acre and 25 acres.
It was destroyed.
Destroyed.
Can we change it back to farmland value?
Once the 25 acres has returned to agricultural production of some sort, then yes, you would return that to agricultural land, much like we do now.
Megan from Nance County. So what do we do with the building is damaged from the flood and then completely renovated and in better shape than before the flood? So if the assessor or CBOE were to look at the building now, it could be revalued higher?
I guess I'll ask the question, Megan. Are they having it renovated prior to July 1st? Because if that's the case, I want that contractor working for me.
When I heard the question, my initial thought went to, we have to look at the January 1st value, and the board can make that change or not make the change. And then in 2020, you'll pick up the additional improvements or the enhancements that you would have found. So that value then would increase in the year 2020.
Yes, renovations are complete.
I would say that they would still have to look at the January 1st date of the value, and if the board sees that they have completely refinished it, that doesn't mean they have to make an adjustment to the value. They can just say, well, this is no longer destroyed and there's no adjustment because the property owner has the right to protest. However, for the year 2020, you would pick up all those renovations.
Yeah, it seems to me that the taxpayers, they'll retain the January 1st value for 2019, and then whatever the completed renovation that we've got by July 1st, that would only get picked up in 2020.
That's correct. Pick up work.
Yeah.
And Megan said it's a restaurant, so time was of the essence to get the business back up and running.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. What proof does the landowner bring in to show the loss?
Well, on the form, again, it's not required. We've had a number of property owners call us, and we just encourage them to attach supporting documents to the checkbox here. Include any photographs, reports, damage estimates, repair estimates, insurance documents, or any other documents you want the County Board of Equalization to consider. And so anything along those lines, you know, if they have a form from FEMA or somewhere saying it's uninhabitable, I know it's going to come. Stumble over that word, but if they have anything that indicates that would help the board in making this decision, by all means, ask them to bring it in.
We're not going to be able to see all the damaged property until maybe mid to late August. What do we do then?
Maybe later than that.
as far as if the property owner hasn't filed a Form 425, there's nothing you would do. We would have to review it for January 1st, 2020, like we have to do now. As for those properties that have filed the form, they may get the relief, or they may not. Again, for you to get out there to review the property, that would have to be picked up for January 1st, 2020.
I have no more questions in the queue.
All right, well, make sure please we're really excited here for another 20 seconds. Hopefully you'll get some more questions into us if you need them. Otherwise, I may start singing, so we all know we don't want that. But if that's the case and we've exhausted our audience, then I certainly want to thank Bruce and your staff for having come over and answering these questions. I think it's going to be very helpful to our county commissioners, our county boards, our partner county commissioners, our county supervisors, county clerks, our county assessors. If you're an assessor or a clerk and your county commissioners or supervisors couldn't be a part of this webinar, we certainly encourage you to make this available to them when it was available online. I certainly want to thank our staff that's here today, our moderator, Candace Meredith, our technical director, Amber Reichel, and our producer, Ms. Daniel Bellina. And again, thank you very much for having come over and answering these questions for us.
We have
more questions. And I do want to go back to my question of property 425 that we see filed in some of your counties, if you don't mind submitting that to Meredith.
Megan from Nance County just reported that they have 45 in counting. And B. Kelly says they have one more question, so we're just waiting for that question.
This is the best part of technology. We get to look at each other while we're waiting for the computer results.
Next time I'm going to take a seat over there.
I sent a test to my daughter for what it's worth. And I said, well, just remember some of the camera has been on. I said, well, yeah, there must be at least five cameras on me. So,
Children
say the darnest things. She's 23, by the way.
Tom does ask, and they have filed on time, but we can't get to everyone in time.
So they have filed the Form 425 timely by July 15th. But we can't get to all of those properties in time. That's why we're going to rely on the property owner to bring in documentation. Or if you have pictometry or some type of imagery that you could take a look at, you can use that technology. I know some counties already have done, I think we're using drones and things like that to fly over. But that's what we would have to rely on, is the documentation from the property owner.
And to follow up, Tom, I'd say whatever documentation you can get from the landowner and whatever sorts of things you can do to verify. And if there's not much that you can do to verify, then, we're in the position where we should be able to trust our taxpayers.
Okay, the question, if the property is not qualified as 20% damaged, but the CBOE feels that they need to change it, who would defend this in front of Turk?
That would not be an adjustment on the report form for 425. That would be the board notice from the protest form filed on 422. And it's much like what happens now, protest forms, when the County Board of Equalizations change values and there's an appeal to TURC, the county assessor does go to those appeals, and that would be very similar here.
I guess my question would be, who's the person that's going to be appealing the county board's decision? Would that be, in this case, I think the only person that could appeal the county board's decision would be the county assessor. And so, and so in that case, who's going to defend the county board's value? I don't know.
Well, if the county assessor files an appeal of the board action, what happens is there is usually, the board will have the county attorney, and the county assessor will be, they will It's a separate attorney that's paid by the county, paid for by the county. And so there'd be the two different attorneys, and one attorney would be representing the board's decision, and the other would be representing the assessment decision.
Are you guys done?
Do you recall that, John, how that used to work?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Did it all used to work for me?
I am not, so for what it's worth.
Thank you.
Okay. Biggest thing I got is that it can be 20% of a single
parcel.
Well, no, a single building within a parcel.
Oh, that's true. An improvement if you have it broken
down. A single
down.
Improvement. You know, if you have a $300,000 site, but one grain bin was damaged,
yeah,
it'd be 20% if it's more than 20% damage.
So they say that it's not about the building, yeah, it's about the land.
Well, no, it's about, it can be an individual building. So if only one of 10 buildings is damaged, but 20% of the value of it is damaged, then they can get assistance on that one building.
But this bill is more for agriculture than anything else,
yeah,
right?
Well, it depends on how like fern freeze. Mm-hmm. That's not agriculture. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, what is the date today? 8th. Okay, so they got one more week to file. And we have not had, I mean, all that bottom ground out here. Mm-hmm. I was expecting.
Do you know one thing? I forgot that when you asked the question, and you could be Sioux River and creeks, like in my case, you know, I was damaged by the creek, not mm-hmm. by the Sioux River.
Right.
Because some of the creeks are going out of the banks.
For sure.
But in Tony's case, yeah, it would be the percent of his parcel that his house is sitting on, right? Mm,
I would, yeah.
And if those acres out there are part of a 100-acre parcel, maybe 2 acres or 1 acre under water is not 20% of the value of that parcel. So they don't meet the threshold.
And there was, yeah, I think
there's
an awful lot, a lot of the ag ground here, it wound up, you know, maybe they went from beans or corn to beans because of the little shorter cycle, but we didn't have a lot where there was actually a lot of sand came out and covered like a lot of counties did where they're having to actually.
Not even on the Missouri.
Not in North County, I don't think.
No, we didn't have a lot of that at all.
No, I didn't see a lot of that. I didn't hear a lot of it. It's just underwater.
It's underwater.
I know when I drive out to Hubbard, it's just flooded every field, even the ones that were planted.
I know.
Are
yes.
underwater.
That's again. Just such a wet area there. I see they have some trucks out there again. Looks like they're trying to put more tiling in that field that they already tiled.
I'm not sure.
It's
happening.
Like the land of 10,000 lakes when you come out of the hills and look down. It's just all water.
It is.
And that's all the way back
so I
around.
Was I thought we would get some of those people, but if it's. But if they got insurance, okay, mm-hmm. if they got paid out.
FEMA,
can they do both?
Well, not even FEMA, just their federal crop.
Because
a federal crop will pay them enough to, you know, get a crop in next year. Mm-hmm. Plus, you don't have any inputs. But almost everybody got the stuff in for the most part.
And now it's flooded again,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, all that along
It'll never create.
They tried to replant it, and it reflooded it. And
yeah.
They got a planter that's stuck out there right now.
Yeah, yeah. Herman, I don't think will qualify. What do we have him valued at? $300,000 or something mm-hmm. like that?
So he'd have to have $60,000 worth of damage, and there's not, I mean, he doesn't have any damage. You've got water in his basement, you know, he had to pump it out, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
$3,000 to.
Two.
Service master.
Herman's $269,750.
Yeah.
About $27,000.
Okay.
So they gave him the form, but he hasn't brought it back in yet, basically.
Right. And who else did they give the form to? Some other.
I remember back in the very beginning, there was one lady.
Somebody filed that said, she used to work here, Kevin, as a jailer, part-time
Paula,
jailer.
Paula
Herrigfeld filed a 425. And she said it wasn't this flood, it was a 2014 FEMA disaster event that they just never repaired.
She lived north of Jackson?
Yes, up on the river.
Yeah, she's almost the last house in our county.
It's difficult, you know, it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you.
It says the real property that became destroyed on or after January 1 mm-hmm. and before July 1 of the current assessment. Yes, that's right.
But I don't think she qualifies. You're right. Mm-hmm. I was thinking the bill wasn't in there or passed. I don't know if she's. So she, unless that same stuff got damaged again and it never got fixed from before, but. We almost have to assess it from the damaged value it was in
on January 1st.
January 1st. We can't go back. We can go back. Now, I'm not, but there's one other person that filed. So I'm not. And we've got another week yet to see if any of the farmers file. But
I don't know how it is in the hills, Kevin, but north of Jackson, I went out there the day after the big rain. And it seemed like that big rain really packed everything. The roads are by, after that big rain, the roads are by far in the best shape they've been in all spring.
Yeah. Yeah, the rain of last week, you mean?
Yeah, they say a hard pounding.
That heavy rain, I mean, north of Jackson, where it had been really bad, it was in by far the best shape it's been in.
Soft spots have kind of gone away.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like.
Yeah, 3 inches of rain.
I think made it real good. I was worried. I was thinking that it was going to be a swamp out there. Hell, yeah. The best it's been all year.
Yeah.
Really?
They say that slow that's drizzle the is the worst thing, and a hard pounding is mm-hmm. is better. And yeah.
Yeah. The roads, the hard rain is good, bad for the fields.
Mm-hmm.
Soft rain is good for the fields and bad for the roads.
Yeah.
There's just not any ditches up there.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest issue, but it's river bottom.
You know, the thing that I learned in my situation that is that since the house is not, or the house itself, the structure is not having been damaged, it is hard to find any help or any assistance because it's prevention.
Yeah,
but
it's for prevention.
Still,
yeah, it's every bit as important.
I mean, if we have another incident like that one we had, even the 3-inch rain that we had the other day, the creek is so wide now and so deep, so there was not even that high because the size of the creek. But if I have another incident, that the creek is going to be at that level, not the level that was on April, but at least halfway.
You really start swirling back.
I'll be swimming in the creek, not in the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But by the meeting, yeah. Sorry, Kevin.
Okay, that was the webinar regarding LD 512 and the filing of Form 425. That is the end of our new business, so we will move on to public comment. And it does not appear that there is any public comment, so we will adjourn, and it is
219.
Thank you, Tony.